This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay? Thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. And only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here.
Come on. That's all you're going to bring?
Why? You guys just walked in the door. I mean, it's not like you were anxious to do the show.
We were at a preseason game scouting session.
Yeah.
Trying to save our jobs by the sounds of it.
Right.
Because they were trying to boot us out.
Sounds like you're not doing
Who's
it
they?
Anymore, huh?
There's one member of the crew that doesn't seem to be all that enamored with us.
Is that Matt Smith?
No. No. Thankfully, no.
Who's that? Mondillo?
No.
No.
Who?
Think of someone who may have thought a regular punt was a fake punt, wasn't really watching the game and analyzing. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right. Anyway,
so let's go. More energy.
The gang's all here. We're in the midst of free agency here.
Aggressive free agency. Sniff.
You got that right. Once again.
That's going to be the cover headline rape and pillage? In the new PFW.
A bold prediction, right? What?
Are we close to rape and pillaging, or do we need like
not
a Jared Allen? We need a pass
yet.
Rusher?
We need a Jared Allen.
Not quite yet.
Jared Allen, and I'll be raping and pillaging with Fred.
I will be with you.
There's still work to be done, but a great start by the Patriots in free agency.
Was that an actual sniff? Or
if anyone had any doubts, shame on you.
And that means everyone after Tlaib left. For that short period of time, that's everyone.
Wait a minute.
Me, him, everyone.
I didn't
if you had
any
Revis
doubts,
coming, I can't lie.
They've only done this once before
I'm still
in their
surprised
history.
They signed Revis.
And it was all on
it's
offense.
It's been a week.
Well,
and so, you had doubts. Don't pretend you didn't.
Yeah.
When Tlaib was gone and nothing had happened yet, you were doubtful.
Well, I wanted to see what their plan was, and I said that. I'd say, you know, I'll be worried, you know, pending what they do now. And, boy, they really had it. You know, whether they had that in mind while they were negotiating with Tlaib or it just was lucky, one way or another, things worked out.
26 teams, according to Darrell Revis, called about his services.
Is that right?
26 teams, and your team did whatever it needed to do, or he says winning was obviously a big part of it, but he could have won elsewhere.
You know, there was an exclusive on Patriots.com with Revis. He sat down with Jackie UK. And like you said, he mentioned that winning and being with a team with a winning tradition was important to him. Are you buying it?
Yes, and we talked about that last week. A year in Tampa that was pretty bad. Sort of, you know, the quarterback leaving, the coach is going to be out the door, you know, that might have a way of changing someone's views. He had known the Jets, which was a circus, but it was a winning circus for the bulk of his time there. They were going to AFC title games. Mm-hmm. They were competitive. So I do believe that maybe a year in Tampa said, I really would like to win, and I can do both.
Yeah.
I can make money and win. I don't have to go somewhere for $2 million. I got $12 million from the Patriots, and there's a good chance I'll be playing in the second week of January no matter what.
But if you say 26 other teams were calling on him, I'm assuming that some of those teams were winning teams.
Well, there were reports that Denver. There were reports Denver, I think by they need to be winning teams, right? Not everybody can be a losing team in the NFL.
Right.
But Denver, by all reports, may have offered him the Aqib Tlaib contract. The same deal, essentially, that Aqib Tlaib took to leave here, Denver may have offered him.
Which is less per year than right. he's getting.
Right, but it's very similar in that it's essentially a one-year, $12 million deal.
But he doesn't like being locked in long-term to less than 60.
Yeah, he swims against the grain.
I'm with you on that, Fred.
He doesn't. He's the non-traditional. Doesn't want that big, long-term, locked-in contract. He right. seems to be, you know, one of these freelancers that is willing to go year to year, and he hasn't even been changed. You think some guys, you blow your ACL, maybe that would change your perspective. He's 2 years removed from the ACL and hasn't changed any perspective. No. He was coming off an ACL, and he signed these one-year, $16 million deals, essentially.
Well, I thought, you know, a lot of naysayers were making fun of the Patriots yesterday and the day before about, you know, he'll be leaving after 1 year. And then when the pictures came out of him touring Gillette Stadium, you know, some of the captions were, you know, this is the place I'll be leaving next year. But you know what? The way I look at it right now, so what?
If he leaves it with a ring, are you okay with it?
I really don't care.
Yeah. If he leaves it with a ring, I'd be okay with it.
We're in March.
And even if he doesn't, they signed Darrell Revis.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's a fantastic move. I think it will be for 1 year. But if it doesn't work in a Super Bowl title, I'm with Andy 100%. Yeah. You have a chance to have the best defensive player in football on your team. Mm. You take it. And you can't be guaranteed of winning titles. And if he leaves after 1 year, so be it. That'll be disappointing next year at this time if we're talking about
it.
If he signs somewhere else, absolutely.
That's what I meant.
I don't even care if they go 6-10.
That should not dissuade
you. You went out and did the best you could possibly do.
Totally agree. Right.
It's like when they traded for Aqib Talib. I don't know if it's going to work, but Bill said, we suck at corner. We couldn't stop a nosebleed through the air. I'm going to go get Aqib Talib. He went and got the best he possibly could. Right. This time around, he did it, and he got a better player. If they go 6-10, that sucks. I'll be disappointed, but you tried.
We went down swinging.
Right. I'd rather that than Brandon Browner as my number one corner. Well, we lost Talib, but we brought in this big corner named Browner. He's our number one guy. If you tell me that, now I'm pissed because you didn't do what you could do.
It's March of 2014. I'll worry about 2015 next March.
But this is kind of what, you know, some people have been talking about for a long time. This is something that I felt really strongly about for a long time, and I feel exactly the way you just said, Fred. I think the Patriots will be a viable team no matter what, as long as they have the Brady-Belichick combination. So therefore, I want to be as good as I can be every individual year in terms of my personnel. And you're absolutely right. If I have Revis this year, there's no guarantees. He could get hurt.
Right.
Listen, everybody likes to tell you when the Patriots don't make a lot of aggressive moves, that's the way to do it. You don't build through free agency. And I agree. You do not build a team in free agency. The Patriots don't have to build their team. The Patriots need to augment what's already a solid foundation with Brady and Belichick. So you bring in a guy, it doesn't mean it's going to work. You don't win titles at this time of year. We know all the cliches. But I'm really excited about the fact that they identified a guy that can help the team win, and they brought him in. And they were really aggressive to do so, and I'll take that every single year. That's the approach I want to see every year. I don't want to see the, you know, mixing and matching with, you know, Jag 1 and Jag 2 to try to, like, fill in the blanks. You're just treading water that way. This is an upgrade. They lost Talib, and they got a better player to replace him.
And as you saw on Patriots.com, Revis was in Foxborough touring the stadium, assumedly signing his contract. The Patriots made the official announcement. So just great to see. Also some other signings. Brandon LaFell was officially announced, 6'2" wide receiver out of the Panthers.
And Brandon Browner officially announced.
Yeah, I was going to get to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you sick?
No, why?
You seem to be dragging a little bit.
Really?
Tired?
A little lethargic.
Yeah, you're not really bringing it.
Well, maybe. Okay. Anyway, so Brandon LaFell in the fold. I think, you know, he's going to help. He's both a slot receiver and he's played outside. So we'll see how he works. But, you know, I think a good addition, a good solid addition.
Complimentary.
To the wide receiver core. And, of course, you mentioned Brandon Browner, the big cornerback. We're not going to be able to see him until week 5 at the earliest. You know,
we'll see him until week 1 and then not till week 5.
Right, as far as
we'll see him in the preseason.
So you'll get tantalized by what you see in the preseason.
Right.
Preseason broadcast.
Then you'll have to wait a month.
Right here on the Patriots Television Network.
Maybe.
You know, we left the meeting. We might be out now.
But you know, it's interesting.
I need an agent.
It's challenging as, you know, the head coach or the defense or Matt Patricia to get ready for that because, you know, those first 4 games are important.
Yeah.
You want to win those games.
It is a quarter of the season.
You have to get the guy ready, assumedly that'd be Dennard, who's going to be the cornerback up until...
Unless he's not available for a game or two.
Well,
they also could luck out like last year and have their first few games be relatively easy games.
Right. Teams whose quarterbacks aren't going to be their quarterbacks
face it,
a little
chances
while
are that's going to be the case. And I don't mean that as a sarcastic thing. I think most of the teams in the league stink. You only have a handful of tough games.
Right.
So what are the odds are that you're going to have more than one tough game in the first four?
Well, there is a chance. I mean,
channeling his inner Borges, they all sing. Like I don't mean to talk about
it. A little bit.
There is a chance that they might play Denver early. You never know.
I'd be stunned.
Yeah, no, it could be.
I'd be stunned if that game isn't in November.
Based on history, November is when you play Peyton Manning.
Week 10.
Always, like going back forever.
It could be, or another tough game could be.
On a Sunday or a Monday night.
Chances are more than one difficult game. I mean, they only have a handful of difficult games on the schedule because everybody stinks.
Plus,
everybody only has a handful of difficult games.
He's at best your number two corner. I'm much happier talking about our number two corner than I am.
I'm glad you said that like that.
Yes, he is a corner.
At best.
Not a safety.
No, at best, he's our number two corner.
Didn't feel like a controversial statement when I made it, but tell me why it is.
Because I think everybody feels like they signed two number one corners.
Oh, God.
Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner, and they didn't.
Who said that?
No, I think that's sort of the mentality of, you know, everything is... I don't think that he's a lock to win the starting job.
I don't either.
I just don't.
And who thinks he's like a number one corner?
But like I said, once he...
Eric also brings up a good point. Not only people think he might be a number one corner, I heard him compared to Cam Chancellor as a safety yesterday, a position he's never played.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like I said, once he's available, now you've got three cornerbacks that can come off the bench, you know, that can play... without having to use Arrington if someone gets hurt.
I thought Arrington was fine in that role.
Stay in the slot.
So this is why you can't be trusted with your analysis. Just last week you said he's fine in that role.
And I just said it now.
But now you don't have to worry about playing him.
I just said he's fine in the slot, but when a guy gets hurt, Arrington doesn't need to come to the outside. It can be Browner. Or if Browner starts, it can be Dennard. So
or Logan Ryan, who a few weeks ago we were trying to sell ourselves on was ready to start.
Right, so that's what I like about this depth as we see it right now.
You're right, Fred. The depth in the secondary is much improved. The one question being the safety spot next to McCoy.
Yeah, I think, and we said, you know, there's still work to be done, safety being one of them, tight end being another, and that rush end being the third.
But we have
the lines.
Value free agency and the entire draft. Sort of getting back to my whole... do I have to trade for Revis and give up my first-round pick? I wouldn't be nearly as excited now. I can still take a tight end, whatever. I feel like I'm going to add, and if you believe everybody, that starters are going to be available well into the fourth round of this draft or whatever it is, you got to feel pretty good about where they are at the early point in the team-building process.
And again, it is. We should stress that, too. Early. Today is a week since
started.
Now, it's the opposite of what we're usually doing.
It feels like a month.
Now watch, they trade Revis for another first-round pick.
No, they're not going
to
do that.
Why are you going to rain on
the parade? Don't do that.
And it's like Paul said. Like, why do we have to pretend Browner's a number one corner or he's going to be a Pro Bowl safety? Why can't we gloat about the fact that we have the best corner in football to be our number one corner, and we added a good physical option to be potentially our second or third corner? Mm. Why do we have to go beyond reality when reality is so damn good?
Who's going beyond reality?
So
I think there's been an element.
Paul's hearing people. I never know if you hear them or not.
Now,
but
yesterday they were talking on the Sports Hub, the flagship station.
Yeah,
that element
on a 1 year deal. He's got a 4 year.
And they were talking about. Being disappointed because we should mention that both Revis and Browner spoke yesterday to the media.
Browner.
I'm not sure if anybody heard any of what they said based on the quality of the audio, but one of the questions Browner was asked is if there was any discussions about playing safety, and he said no. He said, I'm here to, they have not asked me about playing safety, and I'm here to play corner.
The good news is he said, we play a lot of man here, so we're going to match up with everybody, Darrell and I, basically. I thought that was interesting that he was kind of giving the game plan away. Yeah. We play a lot of man, he's good at man, I'm good at man, so we're just going to match up all the time.
Obviously that's what they did for the most part last
also
year.
Also stressing that
he's
a cornerback.
Oh, yeah.
Not a safety.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what I was getting to was...
And then Bill
said,
we don't tell people the game plan on conference calls, dip.
You're a defensive back.
They were talking about him playing safety
on
the Sports Hub, and Tony Maz said, I look at him and I look at the size and I think of Cam Chancellor. As if every guy that's 6'4 has got the ability to do what Cam Chancellor does.
Well, especially after, and I wrote this in SPFW today, all throughout the playoffs, Seattle's incredible run, all we kept hearing was, well, this Richard Sherman revolutionizing the way cornerbacks played. You got to go for these really big, tall, physical cornerbacks. We just signed a really big, tall, physical cornerback, and all everybody wants to talk about is moving him to safety.
Right.
He's a cornerback. Leave him there. End of discussion.
It's
plus,
unbelievable.
The bottom line is corner is more important than safety.
Absolutely.
I know we've been lusting after
a safety. If
you can
play corner, you play corner.
You play corner. Which is why we're disappointed with Devin McCourty. Okay, he may be a decent safety, but we drafted him to be a corner. It's a more important position. So you feel like you lost something in that transition almost regardless of how he plays there. We want corners, and we have two good corners potentially.
You brought up the contract situations. You know, Julian Edelman.
4 years.
Talk now that it's a 4-year deal.
That's what Edelman said.
Yeah.
So,
what the reporters do,
according to a source, could be a 4-year deal for Edelman.
So that's a source close to the situation.
Yes.
That's good news for the offense.
Who likes
they
burgers.
Haven't really done much on that side aside from Brandon LaFell. But so to get Edelman back. LaFell's deal was
Why doesn't Browner just play receiver? He's
years,
got a big,
right?
long frame.
LaFell was 3 years?
Yeah, 3 years, $9 million.
3 years,
nine,
3 years,
million.
9 million. 3 million bonus.
I'm a little disappointed when I saw what James Jones signed for. 3 years and $11 million. I'd have taken James.
You'd rather
Jones.
Have him, yeah.
On that one, but again,
never
not the time.
Happy.
No, I like the aggressiveness. I'm not. I'm not going to be satisfied. I am never happy when it comes to. I want the best players that they can get.
As long as they don't have a rap sheet.
What about Kenny Britt?
No thanks. See ya.
Listen, it doesn't matter what I think of the person. He, you know, in terms of his talent,
anyway.
I think his talent is in question at this point.
And he went to Rutgers
after all the injuries. I think the talent is in question. His production is really dropping off a cliff.
I mean, they can only have so many receivers. So if they were to bring in a Kenny Britt, you know, somebody's got to go. And
if you bring in a Kenny Britt, you're forcing him to make you keep him.
Sure.
In my opinion. He has to be the perfect citizen. He has to be lights out in training camp. Hell, like, you're looking for any little crack to cut him, in my opinion, if
right.
you bring in a guy like Britt.
Yep. I agree with
but
that.
But if you're also asking me who could go, Kembrell Tompkins.
Right. Mm.
Sorry, Kimbro. You seem like a nice man. You might catch on elsewhere. Jaguars
you know,
need
receivers.
You know, but
balls.
Right now you got Edelman, Amendola, Tompkins, Boyce,
Dobson. But Dobson with the foot thing,
right? He could.
Who knows?
He could be on PUP.
All of a sudden, you got a PUP or something stupid like that.
Right. True.
You can never have too many.
True.
And these Jags, in my opinion, are better than the Jags a year ago.
Oh God. Mm-hmm.
So you've upgraded your depth of Jags,
mm-hmm.
and that's a good thing. That's a more competitive environment, and the rookies aren't rookies anymore. That's a more competitive environment. I think you've made a better competition at receiver for July and August.
Very disappointed, though, that Dobson had to have the surgery and now will miss a great deal of his off-season strength
right.
and conditioning program. That's going to set him back a little bit.
Sure.
And that's
not
very
ideal.
Disappointing.
Far from ideal.
Andy, did you see this thing? This happened. Well, you
what
missed
was that
it.
The shark? Was that a Shark
yeah.
Tank?
It's a restaurant that I would recommend going to when you're in Disney. The T-Rex place for the kids will love it.
T-Rex.
There's a huge fish tank in the middle, and it sprung a leak.
Ooh, that's not good.
It's pretty big.
Yeah. See.
That's all right. Webradio@patriots.com
yeah,
is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. So,
did you order your Revis jersey?
No, is Jared Allen off the table? Do you think
he better not be?
Still a place for him, room for him?
Yes.
There's not room under the cap,
unless
and that
they
leads
do
us
something.
Into our Wilfork discussion.
Yeah.
But they're at according to Burt Breer as of this morning, and I don't know if this includes Edelman or not. They were at 6 point something change. He's going to get a decent contract out there. He's
sure.
you know digging his heels in and basically saying, if I don't get what I want,
why
I'll retire.
Why do you think Peppers and Tuck have deals and he doesn't?
Well, he's asking for more
he's
money.
He's asking for
well,
more.
Well, he was. I heard he was asking for the exact same as Tuck.
Well, he
got.
Said. Well, he said all the talk out there
that
of what he's
got.
Turned down.
It was
yeah.
the same one that Ware got.
Now
Ware,
he
Tuck.
Has disputed.
Oh, Ware. I'm sorry. Yeah. Ware.
He has disputed that. But that's 3 years, $30 million. That's
mm-hmm.
pretty
it's a big,
sizable contract.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I wouldn't have given Ware that either. By the way.
But he was reportedly in Dallas. His agent has said he's talking to a few different teams. Some teams. Who have asked him not to get into specifics, so.
Which might be a hint.
I'm not saying, but I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I think the Patriots to sign him would have to do some business.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Vince Wilfork.
I'd be okay with that business.
Because I believe that happened
what they had to do.
Yeah,
so.
After we went off the air on Thursday, right? We haven't talked about Vince.
Yeah, so the last we heard from Vince is that he's asked to be released.
Well, reportedly.
Yeah.
We haven't really heard anything from Vince per se, quoted in a story. It was reports.
Or tweets or anything.
That he wanted to be released based on whatever
ask for his
back
release.
And forth has gone on in this contract.
And I've heard that he's on vacation, and so I'm assuming.
Yeah, but then somebody else said he was at Foxwords on like the other day.
Foxwords?
Yeah.
This guy's never misspoke. Never in his life.
That's
had a whole show. Had a whole show where he called him Hicks.
But when I do,
that's rich.
Who's the first to jump on me?
You.
That's also rich.
When I
he's the first to jump on
when
himself.
When I misspeak, who jumps on me first?
Me,
Big Head.
All right.
I will say that I buy the Will Fork story. Even it's reportedly we should say, but it's been enough time now that I think if the Will Fork camp was unhappy with the way that was portrayed, that they would have.
Probably.
Because Vince has a lot. Let's face it. He's been around for 10 years. Everybody knows Vince. Everybody has a way to get in touch with Vince, including even us. I think he would have.
It's true.
I think he would have disputed that at this point if it weren't true. Do you guys agree?
No, I would agree. That's probably
plenty
accurate.
Of time has passed.
Yep.
But now, do you think the asking for his release, which timing-wise bothered me a little bit, I thought it rained on the Revis parade that day of should have been just pure excitement. We talked about it. That's one of those days that if we needed it, you'd get season ticket sales and all that crap.
Right.
He kind of, you know, put a damper on that day.
Yeah. Do you think it happened that day?
I don't know. Well, but I also wonder if it was an emotional thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sending him a text to say I want to be released.
It sounded
that way. I think it's something that happened. This has been in the works, and he requested this a while ago, and it just sort of hit the media at this point.
Well, but don't you assume it came from him when it hit the media? You think it came from the team?
Well, if it came from the team, I think we would have heard it.
I think he may have requested his release prior to it coming into the paper. Let's
Why do you
that
think
way.
That?
Because I think that they've talked.
Yeah.
I think the sides have talked, and he doesn't like what happened, and he probably got his answer. And listen, maybe it's just what everybody's been saying. He saw the Revis contract, got a little irked. You know, you're bringing an outsider in, you're going to give him $12 million, and you're going to make me do this?
Well, that's what I think.
Maybe that's true. I don't think the two are related.
I think he might have been contemplating asking for his release, but then the Revis thing, you know, was the straw that broke the camel's back, and he made it.
He got it
out there.
Yeah,
I think it was
I think
an emotional
it came from,
thing.
From yeah. Vince's camp.
Yeah.
That I want to be released. I don't think that came from the team camp. So
no,
I think,
no, no. I think it came from the Vince camp.
I think if it came from the Vince camp, it came that day. I just think it came when it came out there. The thing that I'm torn on, and I'm always torn on these a little bit, is he can't play at $11.6 million this year. Just can't happen. I understand that. But from Vince's perspective, well, I had to play out my rookie deal. I had to play my 6 years before you'd pay me. And everybody else had to as well. Logan Mankins, everybody had to play out their contract. Well, now I'm not playing out my contract? Well, how's that fair? When it was time, when I was outplaying my deal, play out your contract, we'll take care of it. Now, it's we got to change this contract. Well, wait, what? That doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, I know, but that's the age-old complaint, and that's the way the NFL works.
No. That's the way the Patriots work.
Oh, every team's like that.
No, plenty of teams rip up contracts and give you a new deal
in year
four.
So do the Patriots.
No, when?
They did it with Gronkowski.
No, they didn't. Strict extension. Well, Hernandez, strict extension. Mankins, they wanted a strict extension. The Patriots do not rip up contracts. They don't.
What do you mean by ripping up contracts?
They don't take
when
away
you have
those
2 years
left,
they
paid.
Give you a new deal. No, it's
they
always
add
a true
on to
extension.
The back of that.
Other teams rip them up. And so don't say everybody
like
does
who?
It the same. Everybody.
Everybody.
Darrell Revis had his contract ripped up. They actually changed the rules, I think, because of Revis, because he renegotiated.
Yeah, and then they ended up getting rid of him.
Okay, so you're muddying the water. You didn't ask me whether it was right or wrong. Don't tell me the NFL does it one way. The Patriots have a history of they only give extensions. They do not rip up contracts.
Yeah, but in doing the extension, they redo the contract.
No, they don't.
They don't.
They add to the back
end
of
it.
They add. It's an extension.
Whatever's remaining stays the same.
So, and I'm not faulting it. Don't get your panties in a bunch.
It sounds like you are.
But what you're telling me is the whole NFL does it.
Sounds like the Patriots are the only team that does this.
I didn't say that. But you said the NFL all does this. It's not true.
All teams do all things. I mean,
the Patriots don't, is what I'm telling you. They give extensions. It's why Logan Mankins got so pissy. They would only do an extension. This has been a bone of contention over the years.
No, Logan Mankins got pissy because they weren't giving him enough in the extension. It was a money deal.
Oh, what? Well, Logan Mankins got pissy.
If we're not going to argue facts, then...
Logan Mankins got pissy because of the uncapped year that forced him to be a restricted free agent when he should have been an unrestricted free agent that year. He was the sixth year.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of the Patriots working with him, they only wanted to do an extension.
True extension.
That he needed to stay on that 1.5 or whatever million-dollar qualifying offer, and he didn't want to do it. That's why he sat out. They refused to rip that up and give him the deal.
And then how
he
did he eventually get satisfied?
They gave him an extension after he played out that year for 1.5.
And he ended up making his money, you know, eventually.
But he didn't get the extension when he wanted it. That's all.
I don't know what you're arguing anymore.
Yeah.
All I'm disputing is you said everybody does it that way in the NFL. That's not true.
Some teams don't do it that
give
way.
Actual new contracts. They rip it up and they give you a new contract. The Patriots historically have not done that. They've done true extensions.
It doesn't mean they're wrong. That's just they don't do it the same as a lot of other teams.
You're saying they've never done that. They've never,
to my knowledge, with a marquee type player, an upper level type player, they have not done
that. The extensions that I know of, have, like, even Brady last year, the restructuring with the extension, that they didn't rip that up. Now, that worked out in Brady's favor because Brady's current year was very lucrative.
But as far as I know,
Gronkowski and Hernandez got years extension. Tacked on to their existing
Ty Warren, Richard Seymour got extensions.
I think Mayo was the same way.
Yeah, got an extension.
I'm pretty sure he got an extension and had to continue on the existing rookie contract. And McCourty probably will have to do the same thing this year because I think he might be in line for an extension.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that's Andy's just kind of stating a point of fact. I don't think it's necessarily trying to portray
business.
It as a negative
thing. They have certain business models
they
follow.
And that's actually, you know, it bring us full circle. We'll get back to Revis. One of the things I really found interesting is the Patriots have often said, and they've talked a lot about that situation, they don't generally do the quote-unquote fake deal.
Correct.
Well, this is kind of one of those. But they've talked a lot about we don't do it that way. A lot of teams will give you the flashy two-year, $32 million contract knowing that they're not going to get the last year. The Patriots have often prided themselves on not doing that. And I applaud them for being a little bit different and out of the box on this one with Revis. They changed what they normally do because it benefited them. You know, it allowed them to keep the cap number a little bit more in line. And they said, we know we're going to have to take a cap hit. They don't generally go into something and saying, I know we're going to have $5 million of dead money next year, but that's okay. It's worth it. Right? And let's face it, 99%.
This is rare.
It's a 99% chance you're going to have that.
A rare player. Right.
And I think
so that's how I think they look at it.
And I absolutely agree.
They don't do it for Deion Branch. They don't do it for Asante Samuel.
And I applaud them for recognizing that not everything is the same.
Right.
You know, that's sort of to bring it all full circle back to Revis.
Yep. Absolutely. So back to Wilfork, though.
The greatest player on defense in history for them to realize it, but they realized it.
Well, I don't know if he's the greatest
history,
player.
But at least in present day.
Andy's
anyway,
not the only stubborn man in this building.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking, that's, you know, greatest cornerbacks ever. I think Deion Sanders would think that he's probably the best ever, and some people
of
might agree.
Of course,
yeah.
Greatest cornerback of his generation is Darrell Revis.
I would say Revis is, yeah, no doubt.
And I don't think there's really an argument.
There hasn't been a lot of great ones, really. I mean,
because it's freaking hard.
It is.
We were just watching.
And it's getting harder.
The Eagles preseason game when Talib gets burnt for a touchdown by DeSean Jackson. And that play is why I think it's the hardest position to play in football. He didn't get toasted. He was behind him. DeSean Jackson got inside of him. It was a nice throw to the inside. Mm. And he's a half a step, a half an arm length behind. But you got toasted for a 50-yard touchdown. That's the fine line at cornerback, and that's why
and
a guy like Derivas,
like he got burnt, right?
Right. It looks like a burning, but it's a good throw. And I think Talib even said, you know, he got inside, made a nice throw and touchdown. Like, yeah, that's exactly what it was. Very easy, but that's how hard it is to play corner consistently.
You can't make a single mistake. You really can't.
And if you make one, you had a bad day. DeSean Jackson toasted you. Well, I might have run with him for 45 other plays.
Right.
But yes, you're right. He beat me on that play for a touchdown. And that's why a guy like Revis is special, because you know his releases, and I'm assuming we'll do it too. You know, held Calvin Johnson to one catch, 7 yards. Held, you know, you go week by week, the guys he matched up with, and you add it up, and it's like, you know, the 7 greatest receivers in football, he allowed 20 catches total or something.
Right. So what should the Patriots do with Wilfork? I mean, what would be fair in your mind to offer him? Because assuming that you can't let him just, you know,
right answer. It's a sigh.
Yeah, because I would like to, quote-unquote, do the right thing and keep him around, But I also want to vastly improve my defense. And to do that, I want to get Jared Allen. And to do that, I need to clear cap space. And to do that, I need to say bye, Vince. Sorry.
And
so that really wouldn't be, quote unquote, the right thing for Vince because of, you know, his history here. And
I think the right business move is to cut
him. But the right
if he's not taking a pay
cut,
cut, I think the right
now,
business move
is to
cut.
Do you think that more so than the Revis deal, the Tommy Kelly deal, not that he got
that he
more,
restructured,
but just that they paid attention to him and got him signed up. Do you think that that tipped his hand say that I want to be released?
What did exactly did Tommy Kelly do?
He restructured, Kelly,
and restructured
and gave back money.
Gave back about
less.
$800,000. He can get it back.
But just the fact that they got it done, whatever it was.
If Vince had taken
I think if
their
Vince
offer,
wanted to do that, that would have been done long before Tommy Kelly.
No, but I think that the gap, it seems to me that the gap between what the Patriots were offering Vince and what Vince expected and thought was fair is just too wide. And
I
it sounds
agree.
Like
obviously.
They,
yeah,
and
I
it
agree.
Sounds like they haven't talked in a while.
Oh, I don't,
well, I don't know about that.
I also don't know the gap.
I don't know.
I have yet to see any report of anything.
But
that's my impression, though, is what Fred said.
That's the only impression he can get. He wants his release. That clearly says, I don't like that.
Tommy Kelly's in a much
It could very well have been that they went to him and said, Vince, we'd like you to restructure. And he said, absolutely not, period. There may not have been any numbers
discussed. It might be just a flat pay cut. We can't pay you that salary.
I don't want to do it. I just want to
I have seen nothing.
Anything is possible, as Kevin Garnett once said. I don't think that that's probably the case.
See, Vince would be...
But
if the money's the
possible.
Same, Vince would be smart to restructure because that just extends his
if
life.
If they did
a
regular restructure and said, we're going to take your $7 million salary, guarantee it, hand you a check today, here's tag.
Right.
I think
jump
you do
at
it.
Jump at that.
Sounds like
from afar without seeing any numbers, I don't think that's
would
what
would you
happened.
Do that regardless of what they were offering and say 15 and 16?
I'm
going to assume
would.
That they would add 2 years to the deal.
Because I want to be a Patriot, right? I mean, I'm trying to be a career Patriot. I like it here. I'm comfortable.
You have a
I don't feel like they're screwing me. That's why I don't think that was probably the proposal.
Yeah. My guess is that there was some sort of cut involved. But even if there weren't, I would think that they were asking him to take a lot less than he thinks he's worth. Now, he might be wrong.
Well, he is.
He might be wrong, what he's worth on the open market.
He's wrong now. Philosophically, I don't think he's wrong. Because, again, I think it gets back to, I had to play out my six-year deal, but now I'm not playing out this deal. So I think in that philosophy, he's right. But in the reality of the situation, Vince, you're not worth $11.6 million.
He's
I can't do
get it.
No
he's
one,
get it.
I can't. I can't do it. And the team is right there in the fact that he's not worth that. That's why I said Eric's right when you just sigh. But business-wise, if he digs his heels in, you got to go.
Let me ask this question to you guys. Now, Eric brought up the fact that, there's more work to be done, and he's right. Jared Allen, free up more money. Let's say, for argument's sake, hypothetically, they are where they're going to be. This is basically, they're going to draft players, obviously, but free agent-wise, this is what they have. There's no Jared Allen coming.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other receivers coming. There's no whatever. Would you still think that cutting him would be the right thing to do if there was an same impasse? I do.
I think so because I have to do
other things. And I want to be
consistency.
Able to do other
but
things.
But I also
just said, forget that.
You're not worth
they
that
have
money.
They don't need the space. They have it.
Right.
Whatever they want to do, they have the space for. It's a hypothetical.
I got to cut you. I can't just give you your golden parachute because it's.
I agree. I don't think this is a cap move. I think this is more of a.
It's a value move.
It's
what he's worth.
It's a value move and it's a football move. I don't think that I need to pay a guy $7.5 million to do that job.
I also think you're going to miss the idea of Vince Wilfork more than the player.
There's no doubt.
Like, Vince is our captain. 75's always out there. He's the run stuffer. He's the heart and soul of the defense, as
Good
Mr.
Leader.
Kraft said. All of that. But then I think you replace him with a $2 million veteran on the field, and I think you're going to say, boy, I miss Vince, but the defense doesn't look that different.
We'll see how Tommy Kelly plays. I mean...
Yeah, I'm not convinced about Tommy Kelly doing that.
No. I said replace him with a two-man. You have to sign somebody.
They have to sign somebody.
You know, this guy they had visiting,
Guillon. I guess he signed.
Oh, he did. Yeah. But somebody like that. You know, we joke about
this. I dubbed him Letois.
There's always guys out there who have started like 30 career games.
Right.
Who are just, kind of that bottom of the roster starter defensive lineman.
I know, but we've been through those and.
Have we?
Yeah, I mean, but they're all with Vince, when we bring in those kind of guys and they
play
with Vince.
No, but last year, when everybody was crying about the sky falling, it's because you went
to... for a while, it was falling.
Right, because you went to an undrafted rookie and a three-time waiver wire pickup.
Yeah. And you went 12-4.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just
so stopping the run.
I agree with you guys about the, you know, the business side of Vince.
It's so hard.
It really is.
And I don't like to, I don't say like saying goodbye. I don't like having to say that.
Right.
You know, because I like
to sing it.
I have a lot of respect. I have a lot of respect for Vince. I do. And I don't like having to say that, but I just don't think that job is that valuable.
What would you offer him? What do you think would be fair for him to make in 2014?
Maybe half of what
$3.5 million.
$3.5 million.
Sure, and I think that would even be on the high side. But
yeah. I'm giving him a little something there. Extra.
You can't be ridiculous. The guy was supposed to make $7.5 million. I can't say, hey, you come back for $1 million. We'll talk.
And I'm also paying him to be a leader because I'm worried about the leadership. Right. I don't think they have any leaders on that defense.
And I could be persuaded in that department as well. He might be more valuable to you than he would be to somebody else. Not necessarily.
His blue robe when he saunters through the locker room and looks at somebody and just shakes his head.
You know what I think he does a good job of? When the poop is flying.
Pointing out when everybody on PFW picks against the Patriots in Miami.
But that's part of it.
I think he got over that.
Oh, he did.
Oh,
but at the time, he conjured up a little something.
He uses that, and I think
he got in the crucible there, and he made a magic spell that was over that team.
When the Patriots
isn't that the thing you use to like crush stuff and
pestle and mortar and pestle?
The crucible,
whatever they call it.
Isn't a crucible where you burn stuff? And I'm pretty sure it is. Look it up.
I know a crucible.
Look it up.
I know the crucible meaning the ridiculously difficult test that you have to go through.
No, look it up. Look it up during the break. I'll eat. You look.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we got the lines lit up, and we'll get to more of your emails right after this.
Do you know where your beer is brewed? With 12 breweries spread out all across the United States, a fresh Budweiser is closer than you think. Want to see just how fresh? Download the Track Your Bud app. Then you can retrace the creation of the bud in your hand. Where and when it was brewed. Where the ingredients came from. It's Brewmaster. It's like taking a tour of your local Budweiser brewery from the comfort of your bar stool. Get to know your bud. Download the Track Your Bud app or visit trackyourbud.com today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Hey, Boston, spring is almost here, and before you know it, our world champion Red Sox will be back at Fenway Park. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you always get the best seats at the lowest prices, all with our 200% guarantee. Right now, Ace has your tickets to all games, including opening day, marathon weekend, and the Yankees. Ace Ticket, the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit Ace Ticket.
Hey, rookie, I'm Coach B here to get everyone ready for the Bacardi O'Kart Challenge. What is it? It's your time to see what spiced rum is supposed to taste like and your chance to step your game up. You'll only find a challenge like this from Bacardi O'Kart. But enough talk. Hustle over to OkartChallenge.com, only if you're a real contender. Bacardi O'Kart, smooth and spiced. What spiced rum should taste like.
Drink with honor and responsibility. Copyright 2013 Bacardi USA Inc., Coral Gables, Florida.
The boys are back. The 2014 season of New England Revolution Soccer kicks off on March 22nd when the Revs welcome Vancouver Whitecaps FC to Foxborough. After last year's run to the playoffs, Diego Fagundes, Kellen Rowe, and the rest of the Revs are ready to take on the best MLS has to offer. Get your seat for the action now. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net.
When most restaurants talk about deals, they talk about price. Actually, they usually yell about it, or turn it into some kind of song. But a deal is only as good as what you're getting. Like the Papagino's $8 deal. The price is great, but the pizza is even better. See, when you buy any large pizza, you can get up to 3 large cheese pizzas for $8 each. 3 large Papagino's pizzas? That's some good stuff. And see, we didn't even have to yell. Papagino's.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
bullied? What happens was we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which you couldn't call
today.
We
played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say
it. Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, "Oh, you guys are pussies playing that game."
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then
it's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, "Oh, who's the pussy now?" So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came. you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? And he punched me in the jaw, you know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking, obviously, boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
so
him,
he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you, just because he said it twice doesn't mean he was okay.
And I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
I guess I'm supposed to come back, huh, Chris? Okay. All right, back here in PFW in progress. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
Do we just
address.
Not have any commercials anymore?
Yeah, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. I guess Kevin plays the longer...
Now we have story.
What's going on?
We played five commercials.
That's the story.
What's
time.
In the background?
Five
now?
Commercials.
What am I listening to? Story Time with Fred Kirsch? Okay. All right.
I'm going to do a live story time with Fred.
That's okay. No, I just wanted to know if I should be quiet and listen or keep talking. So I guess I should keep talking. I got the thumbs up. Keep talking. Okay.
Good call.
Just want to call. This one email popped up. Junior from Dorchester writes in, love the show, but I have one small critique. Fred, can you please get everyone game tape of draft prospects a little bit quicker? I get that it takes time and we can't get them right after the Super Bowl, but as the draft questions start coming in more frequently, I'm tired of hearing the same thing from each of you. Fred, all I want is the best player available, clearly compensating for the fact that he has no clue of who any of the players are. Paul, I haven't seen any tape, so I don't have a feel for his game, but he really impressed me when I talked to him. Andy, I can't pronounce his name, but I like that tight end from Washington, or was it Washington State? Eric, I just want to make a first-round pick. Clearly still mad about the Tavon Wilson pick. Thanks, thanks, guys. I love the show and the work you do.
So. I'm going to start watching tape today, I think.
Probably not today, but soon. It is here, and we will start watching it. I would also say, you know, don't forget the draft got pushed back a little bit. It's not till May 8th through 10th.
Correct.
So that's still a long way off, the draft.
All right. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Nolan's in California. He's been hanging on for a while. Hey, Nolan.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
What's up?
I've been ecstatic since we got Revis. You know, I was hanging out with my friend playing some Madden, and when I saw that from my phone, I was so happy. And he's like, "What?" And I was all like, "We got the best corner in this league."
I agree, and so and I think everyone else does too.
The panel is
you're just living agreement. The high life right now.
Are you satisfied, or do you need the Patriots to keep doing things in free agency?
Well, I've been pretty satisfied. I think LaFell's a good compliment. I think re-signing Julian Edelman was awesome. Glad to have him back. But I, like you guys said, I really want Jared Allen, and if it means cutting Wolfork, I think I'm willing to do that.
Just quick breaking news off Twitter, according to Mike Garofalo. Julian Edelman's deal, 4 years, $17 million base, $2 million more in incentives with $8 million guaranteed.
Okay.
Four years and how much?
$17 million base. Two more in incentives, $8 million guaranteed.
So a little over $4 million a year for the
more than I thought he would get.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
I think he
did all right for himself.
I think he
did
too.
Yeah,
which and then I saw
he didn't get the $7 million a year that the crap sheet was predicting.
Shockingly, no. I mean, it's weird. I really thought it was going to happen because he's always right. Crap sheet. I mean,
that was just oozing with sincerity. go ahead, Nolan. Sorry to cut you off there.
Yeah. Oh, that's not good. I just feel like if we have to cut Wilford to get Jared Allen, I feel like that should. I think we should let Wilford go and try to pursue Jared Allen. Because I feel disappointed that the Patriots aren't trying to pursue Jared Allen. And is that because of the Wolford situation?
Well, we don't know. We don't know if they are. As Andy said, Jared Allen said that he's been talking to a number of teams, some of which asked him to not elaborate on anything that they're saying. So that sounds like a Patriots request. So maybe one of the teams is the Patriots.
Keep the hope.
We don't know.
Okay, and a quick note is: are they gonna make special Revis Island jerseys where on the front of the jersey there's like a little island and with a flag, Darrell Revis's face?
Well, I actually saw Scott Zolak tweeted out a picture of him in Sports Authority, and there was already a Revis Island jersey, T-shirt in Sports Authority. So, you know, now I thought that Revis had the copyright on that. So unless he's making money off of that, that's bootleg.
Right.
You know, unless he didn't actually go through and get the copyright.
Or unless he's getting a cut.
Yeah.
Through Sports Authority.
Right.
But I'd be surprised if there weren't a Revis T-shirt of some sort. I don't know exactly what the island or whatever. Maybe some of that will depend on copyrights, but I would assume there'll be something. Right now they're waiting on a number. They're basically taking pre-orders on blanks because they don't know his number. I assume it's going to be 24. I'd be stunned if that doesn't happen, but as of now, it's not his.
Yep. All right, Nolan, thanks for the call. Let's go to Ben in Maine. We go from California all the way to Maine. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I wanted to ask you guys what you thought about it started out as a generic defense question, but what are the chances that the Browner and Revis signing, in terms of its impact on the trickle-down effect into the linebackers and then into the defensive line, that the signing of those two guys together, even without having already, approached Will Fork about restructuring his contract or, potentially releasing him, that within itself will generate enough of a positive trickle-down effect to the point where that, based on that alone, even without replacing him or adding a guy like Jared Allen, it becomes totally plausible and not outrageous to do.
Well, so what you're saying is that they'd be okay as they are? Is that what you're saying? Because of the trickle-down effect and it makes Chandler Jones and Ninkovich better?
Yeah,
but here's the thing. It's not necessarily – I think when people are talking about the problems at end last year, wasn't that, Ninkovich isn't good enough or Jones isn't good enough. It's that there wasn't anyone there to rotate with them. You shouldn't have these guys playing 95% of the snaps in today's NFL.
Yeah.
You need that rotation. So, they're going to have to do something there, even if these guys aren't to the level of Chandler Jones or Ninkovich, just for quality depth. So I think what maybe your argument or question shouldn't be, are they set as they are, but do they need someone of Jared Allen's level if, these guys are going to perform the way we hope they will?
Well,
that could be viable. Maybe they don't need a Jared Allen to be a much better defense than they've been.
They might not need him, but I think if they get him, like, for instance, in 07, did they need Randy Moss to be a better offense?
Yes. From 06? Yeah.
I mean, given all the moves they made before they got Randy Moss, they were an improved offense with Welker, with Stallworth, with Kelly Washington, with Kyle Brady. They had made enough moves that they had better players than they did the year before at that position. They got Moss, and that took them over the top.
Yep.
I think at this point they've made enough moves that they're better on defense. If they get a Jared Allen, now you've addressed both of your biggest weaknesses.
Right. Oh, there's no doubt. If they get Jared Allen,
that puts them over the top.
That puts them over the top defensively.
We rape and pillage.
Yeah.
Now, if they get a guy in the draft who's maybe,
But the bottom line is that
I think this is what
Ben is getting to. Can they win a Super Bowl as is?
Yeah, so yes. it's sort of a bit of a renaissance, one of the things that was always touted in the early 2000s is that, the linebacker crew and, as much as we love them, the linebacker crew and the defensive line, that especially in 2001, they were nothing special, but our secondary was, especially in 03 and 04, with Harrison in the mix, Harrison and Ty Law both back there.
Well, 2000. Let's not make that mistake about the defense in 2001.
It was tremendous.
You're talking Richard Seymour. You're talking Teddy Bruschi. You're talking Willie McGinnis. You're talking a lot of guys.
Bruschi, Johnson, Vrabel,
in that front
Pfeiffer,
seven. That
McGinnis.
Yeah, they were all pretty
good.
Those
were all linebackers.
So I
understand Bruschi was Bruschi. Vrabel wasn't quite. We had just signed him from Pittsburgh that year, correct, if I remember correctly?
No, I know. I mean, if you're asking what you thought of him when they signed him as opposed to how he played, that's two different things. It's like Roman Pfeiffer. That was the year that Belichick famously said, you'll be a role player, and his role ended up being
99%
going to play every
snap.
And he played at an extremely high level. You got a lot more out of those guys than you probably thought when you signed them. But their play in 2001 especially the linebackers, was tremendous.
Right, but that's what I'm getting. That's kind of what I'm trying to get at is how much of their ability to play at that level could be accredited to receivers being covered downfield, and what are the chances that we see some of that enhanced effect with our current crew.
Well, yeah. I don't think the Patriots secondary in 2001 was all that good. Ty Law was good. Terrell Buckley wasn't good. Right. Otis Smith wasn't good. They were good enough.
They were a scheme team. They weren't, you know, a shutdown man team like the, the Jets were when they had Revis.
That said, I agree with the premise. I agree with the premise that with Revis and with Browner, you have upgraded your corner position.
Right.
It improves your pass defense. It takes less pass rush, or the coverage will help the rush, however you want
to. Maybe you can feel you can take a little bit more chances with the rush.
You may send, Jamie Collins or somebody on a blitz that you may not have done previously out of fear. You will be better as a pass rush because of the coverage, but are you better enough? Fred's question, can you win the Super Bowl? I don't know. And I would feel more comfortable with a veteran pass rusher. Even if it's not Jared Allen, I'd feel more comfortable with a veteran pass rusher than counting on a rookie to come in and be that guy.
Thanks for the call, Ben in Maine. Let's go to Eldridge. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
We're
excited?
Doing great.
Excited?
I'm very excited. Then I'm kind of mad also.
Of course you are.
You know.
Are you never happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy most of the time, but Brendan was failing.
He's happy when he's mad.
Yeah. Out of Sanders, you got a Jag. You got another tall receiver.
Who's it? You think LaFell is a Jag?
Yes, sir. I'm up in Carolina. I see him.
I think he's a little bit above a Jag, but you're not. All I said earlier was the Jags you signed this summer are better than the Jags you signed last summer.
Not necessarily.
What are you talking about? Does any of them need a liver operation immediately? Or whatever the injury was?
You're talking about injury-wise? Okay, injury-wise, you're right.
Michael Jenkins was slow. They called him Molasses Jenkins.
I believe it was a kidney problem.
Kidney, okay. You had one guy who needed a new kidney, and you had another guy whose nickname was Molasses. They've upgraded. They're younger and better Jags, even if you think they're Jags.
Yeah, he's a Jag. He's a Jag. We need, like you said, the question y'all asked, did we win the ball right about now? Is Vince Walt? No.
If you think if Vince leaves, they cannot win a Super Bowl as currently constituted.
No, currently constituted because, like I said, we got that big push in the middle. Now, we need to push in the middle in the ends, true enough. But, like I said, Vince gone, no. And he did do a press conference saying he won out. Because I was on the news, the internet.
Yeah, I think you are mistaking an interview with 60 Minutes that aired in January with something new. That was an old interview that people have been playing to give some context to the current contract situation, but he has not done a new, far as I know, he has not done anything new. That's a very interesting interview to watch in hindsight.
Well, it's interesting that they were so quick to say, yeah, it's all business, they get it, and yet, now
it's all business till it's personal.
Right,
But the best move they're making so far, I give them a B. Because, like I said, Denver was gearing up trying to beat us. We've been trying to beat them. But right now, Denver's getting a little bit better pieces than we got. Now, deep the corner-wise, I think we're better in the corner-wise. The corner-wise. Receiver-wise, no.
We're better at corner. He says they're better at receiver at this point.
Yes, that is 100% fact, I would say.
But
and
if
you got the
Patriots pick up another tight end and,
my caveat, he said if Will Fork leaves, then they can't win the Super Bowl. Mine is if Gronk doesn't play like Gronk for the end of the year and into the postseason or whatever the timing is. I think you need Gronk. We saw this offense with Gronk and without Gronk last year.
Well,
yeah, we need Gronk.
You guys haven't heard my bold prediction about the Broncos yet. This will be the year we see the drastic drop-off from Peyton Manning. This is the year.
Really?
Yes.
Because?
I don't think he got too many toes.
Gut feeling?
Just the way it is, yep.
See,
just the way it is.
I think that could happen, but you won't really notice. Because, like Paul says, there's a lot of crappy teams.
No, you're going to notice it. It's going to be noticeable.
You mean he's going
to
look like he looked in
the
Super Bowl every game?
If it's not noticeable, it's not a drop-off.
No, but is it noticeable against the Seahawks or the 49ers, those teams? Or is it noticeable against,
the
Jags and
whatever? Throughout the season, he's not going to be the Peyton Manning we know.
So he's going to look like he looked in the Super Bowl.
So the arms race is over.
Maybe not quite that bad. That was
knocked down those mountains, John.
But you're not going to see. Yeah, you're going to see it.
It is an arms race officially. Did you see that? John Elway termed it an arms race.
It's a fun arms race, he said. Yeah.
Now, the one thing I would question, with comparing off-seasons, the Broncos started from ahead. They were a better team than you last year.
Right.
So you're not just trying to keep up with the Broncos. You need to swing the balance back towards your side.
You need to leapfrog them.
So, now again, Gronk is a big issue in that. That's a big factor in how that balance swings. But I don't know that you've leapfrogged the Broncos because you got the best corner in football.
No, but I think that you
no, but the fact that Peyton Manning has now forgotten how to play quarterback probably gives you a leg up.
Right. That's right. Good Paul. I think a better Patriots defense, you know, at least makes them equal, I think.
He'll be right one of these years, you know, if he sticks with that like 2-3 years in a row.
How many years have I said that?
No, I'm just saying you will be right if you
stick to it. How many years have I said that before? Have I ever said that before?
Get so mad.
This is why a guy like Dale Lardle calls him a fathead.
Wait, saying what? Saying the Peyton Manning thing or saying the Patriots defense thing?
He gets under your skin like a fungus.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
You know?
Can't argue with that.
I can't either. But are you talking about how often have you said the Peyton Manning thing or the defense
thing? This is going to be the year that Peyton Manning...
I've never heard you say the Peyton.
Thank you, Paul.
Usually you just call him penis head.
But every year you tell us how the Patriots defense is going to be lights out.
And I think they would have been much better. Better last year, if not for the injuries. So, Chris with a TIAN is calling in. Hey, Christian.
He didn't like it.
And he just hung up.
Maybe his boss came or something.
Let's go to Marcus in Miami. Hey,
lucky
Marcus.
Her.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
What a difference a week makes, huh?
Woo! What a difference a day makes.
Yeah.
That's true. But I mean, imagine what we were talking about. I mean, I forgot last Tuesday was such a long time away, but I'm just happy. I still can't believe we made all these moves. And it reminds me of 2007, but I mean, I think that all the improvements we made on defense, like we were still coming off that, you know, that dynasty talk when we had our 2017. Now we've made all these moves and we haven't even gone to the draft yet. Now this is, you know, I don't agree with you guys. We don't build through free agency, but we got better. We're putting a better team right now if we didn't even go to the draft, and we still get to go to the draft and improve our team. And my question is for you guys, and I'll hang up and listen. What do we need, period, to put us in the championship game in Arizona?
Pass rusher.
What is it?
Pass Gronk. Rusher.
Healthy Gronk.
And Gronk. That would be nice, too.
Healthy Gronk and a pass rusher, and yes, now I'm booking my room in Phoenix.
So a guy that we already have on our team, how is he going, by the way? I mean, do you think he'll miss? I mean, obviously, him is OTAs and minicamp, but will he be back in for training camp or?
I have no idea. He looks good. Did you see Chandler Jones' little Vine video? He looks good. Last time I saw him, he had more of a walking.
Oh. I thought he was body slamming somebody.
I was going to mention that Chandler Jones had a little Vine video that he did here in the corridor at the stadium.
Yeah, it was right out here.
That had Gronk in it, and Gronk looked fine. He's walking under.
Last time I saw him, he had a little limp. Yeah. I don't know where I saw him, so I probably shouldn't say it. But last time I saw him, he had a limp. But he looked a lot better in that Vine video. What's a Vine video? 5 seconds? 6 seconds?
5-6 seconds, like that, yeah.
In a six-second Vine video.
From the neck up.
Out here, he looked good carrying a little tinfoil thing of his lunch.
Right.
Yeah, we're on the big screen right now. Give me a chest bump.
Give me a chest bump.
He fell down after the video was over. He fell down in pain.
And the pass rusher we've been talking about doesn't have to be Jared Allen. I want Jared Allen.
Nice, though.
But
you think he's too expensive? Is that
for me or for them?
Too much?
Not too expensive
for me. No.
How much cap room do we
have?
Not
my money.
Anybody know?
$6.29 million, according to Albert Breer. But I don't know if that's pre or post Edelman's deal.
Oodles.
Is that not what I think ESPN just put. His deal was 4 years, $17 million base, two more in incentives.
Yes, correct.
Just came up through that. So, I mean, I can't believe we made all those moves and we didn't even break the bank, yo.
Well, that's because you've got one guy who on the cap right now is $7 million, who's the best player.
You're a smart man, Marcus.
It's you guys, man.
You're right. They made a lot of moves and you don't have to break the bank to do it.
The one thing
man,
I would.
Yo.
Cap space
is crap.
Can be maneuvered in a number of different ways
by smart people.
Exactly.
What about the Vince thing? I mean, and I don't want to, because I follow him. I follow him for a while. Obviously, I'm in Miami. You know, he does a lot of work for the University of Miami, and I follow his wife, Bianca. She's a colorful character. She's a great woman, but I don't want to see them leave. What do you think gets resolved with that? Do we extend him like they did the Paul Mahu? I mean, Spread him out. I want him to retire, Patriot. I'm pretty sure
his
family wants him to retire, Patriot.
I do, too, and I think most fans do. And I think it's just going to come down to him sitting down with Robert Kraft in the room, perhaps. And I don't know if he has been up to this point, but it's going to take some kind of man-to-man saying, look, you know.
Do you think that'll happen? So this is a Robert Kraft decision as much as it is a Bill Belichick decision?
Because it's $11 million. I mean, either I'm going to pay
I think so.
Million,
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, because we'd heard rumblings that Robert would Troy Brown step.
Exactly.
Is this, are we at that?
It might be.
Now, it's bigger numbers is the problem.
Yeah.
Troy was not $11 million cap number, any of this crap. So I think that's hard.
Well, it's almost, you know, it's almost sitting down with Vince and not convincing him to do it, but giving him some sage advice and saying, look, Vince, we know the market out there. We you know, this is what you're going to expect. So rather than
just do it here,
let's just do it here. Let's, you know, and it's that type of, you know, a guy like Robert Kraft giving him that advice and then him and Bianca agreeing to it. Otherwise, yeah, he's going to be gone. You know, they're not going to give him.
No,
it's just not going to do it. If I was there advising them, I wouldn't advise them to do it.
Now, but I see that fascinates me. I think you're right in that Robert may need to be in. Like, how does that come about, you think? Does Bill go to Robert and say, listen, I know Vince is different. He's special. Why don't you sit down?
Well,
like, how does that work?
I guarantee you that.
Or square, if you could.
I guarantee you that the Wilforts have already gone around Bill and tried to contact Robert directly.
But does Robert say it's my decision, or does Bill say?
No, he wouldn't do that.
Okay.
No.
That's what I'm asking. I just don't know how this would play out.
He would go in with a plan already cleared with Bill, say, Bill, if I can get him to do this, let's, you know, you good with that? Let's do that. And so Robert would go into the room with a number in mind and try to hash it out with him, you know?
Extending him just makes sense, man. It's just like, I mean, if you want to retire Patriot, you know, he has one ring with us, right? He has one.
But extend him for how much, Marcus? That's the question.
I mean, if he's due 7.5 this year, if he add another 2 years to it, a 3 year deal, 2 year extension with an option at $5 million a year plus another incentives that he. I mean, he'd never been hurt.
Would you give
him? That's kind of why
I'm not sure the Patriots want to give him that.
Would you give him a 3 year extension for $10 million, all guaranteed?
Extension.
Well, 3 more years, well, including this year. I'm sorry.
So a 2 year extension.
Yeah, 2 year extension, $10 million, all guaranteed.
No,
I don't think the Patriots would give him that.
You wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
$5 million a year for him?
$350 million.
No. Well, it would be this year. It would be like three and a change.
I don't. This year is staying.
Oh, it has to stay.
Well, that's the way the Patriots generally do it.
What if they tore it up?
I don't want the cap hit to hit it.
That'd be a first.
If we spread it out.
Then I would back leave. That's why Vince wants to leave, because they're tearing up his 7.5.
Yeah,
I also don't feel comfortable.
I need a Vine health video to see how he's looking.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable with his health situation. I mean, he's a huge guy. With that kind of injury, I don't know how he's going to bounce back. I really don't. And I can't guarantee him that kind of money if I don't know what he's.
One thing I have to say about I love about the Patriots, and this goes against my better judgment, we're cutthroat. I mean, we're cold-blooded. I mean, at the end of the day, it's beyond business. They're going to do what's best for this team. Now, of course, obviously, we won't want him to re-sign Edelman, but I'm pretty sure it's going to hurt to not have him. But, I mean, I just hope this thing gets resolved, because, I mean, it would be a A in everyone's book if we can get Vince Wilfork resigned, or, you know, or we just swallow that pill. I'm like, no, we're going to go out on a limb. I just don't think they're going to go out on a limb and say $11 million. I mean, that's a lot for a cap hit, man.
What do we need to cut his cap number to be palatable?
See, that's what I think, like $3.5 million.
Well, you can't. His cap number, no matter what, is $3.5 million.
Right.
Because he has $3.5 million from the old date. Well, I mean, I guess if you extend him.
Right.
But that's what. What is the number you're
to me, that's,
working
to me,
towards?
Like, even if it's charity, I would be willing to give Vince Wilfork that charity for $3 million a year for the next 3 years.
It's the money thing. It has to be something. It has to be a bigger picture. Like, you got to think him and his wife. If they're so, I mean, obviously they're a great team. It can't be about money, man. I mean, he's been in the league for what, 10 years now. He's been through an old CBA contract. As me and my friends like to joke about it. I mean, that's when people were getting the Matt Stafford money, mm-hmm. $7 million. I mean, he went through two decent contracts. They got an extension.
Vince didn't get that.
He has a ring.
No,
Vince
he
was the 21st.
Is he not a Hall of Famer?
Vince was the 21st pick of the draft, though, not the first.
Right,
there's a big difference
I mean,
there. He didn't get that kind of money.
What about the second contract?
This is the second contract. Because he signed a 6-year deal.
He got 40
That's
million.
What I think it's all about. As I started the show, I had to play out the 6 years because we play out our contracts, but now I want to play out my contract, and we don't play out contracts like
right.
that. And,
now, don't get me wrong. Vince is not, you know, rubbing two nickels together to pay the mortgage. He's been paid
exactly.
well.
I would say $50 million he's made.
Yeah.
30-something
he's
off
He's been
this.
Paid well and probably better than most defensive linemen anyway.
And no, he's not a Hall of Famer.
No, he's a team.
He's
Hall
a Patriots
of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Team Hall,
but
yeah,
not a.
Yeah, Patriots Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Easily that, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, enjoy the rest of y'all day. Tuesday. It's been a crazy week, man. Hopefully we can. What do you think about Kenny Britt?
Nope.
Yay or nay?
Nope. Thanks.
These guys don't want him. I
St. Paul doesn't want him.
I think
I have not said a word about.
I think
Kenny Britt.
I side with them. If they hadn't signed LaFell, I'd be a little bit more intrigued to talk to him. But at this point. I think we can get.
You don't think Kenny Britt's better than Brandon LaFell?
No, I do, but not when you factor in all the other stuff.
All the other stuff that the Chasey pool. How many receivers do we have on? Are we at like seven? Julian Edelman.
We only signed
Amendola,
Brandon LaFell.
Not a lot,
right?
Don't we?
That's the only receiver we signed that we added.
Edelman,
to
Amendola, Dobson, Boyce. At the moment, Tompkins. Slater, if you want to consider him, that's six, and LaFell is
right,
seven.
Right, got to consider him because you're special.
So swap LaFell for Colley, and you have what you had last year.
And Colley, yeah, who's
Well, they got rid of Colley, but right. As far as other guys, they got rid of T.J. Moe. They
did
him.
Yes.
No Moe.
He's
no Moe.
That counts.
Right, take it easy.
All right. For the call.
How long did you have him on?
Losing momentum.
He was on a long time. He said, I'm just going to ask a question and hang up. And you kept him on forever. You have the anti-Mike Felger trigger finger.
Yeah, he's fine. Too, so
yeah, that happens when
he's all right.
You know, when you knee deep in the pizza.
Like Felger, you say three words and he cuts you off. Fred just like, so, how are the kids?
Don't worry, Marcus.
Mike's in New York City. Fine. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Okay.
Jacked. Pumped.
Taking my call. I'm gonna talk quickly and then hang up because I'm in the bathroom at work.
Okay.
Does it smell?
You know, I just want to talk about, like, everyone's talking about this arms race between the Patriots and the Broncos with all these free agent signings. And what it seems to me is I feel like the Broncos are getting away with kind of doing similar to, like, what the Dolphins did last year, which is just signing names. Now, I think their names are better than the ones the Dolphins signed, don't get me wrong, but with Ware and Tlaib and all these guys and these big money contracts, it just seems to me like they're ready to, not bust because they're a good team and they got that good reputation there in the Super Bowl last year, but I just don't see their big money contracts working out the way the Pats are doing. I feel like the Pats sign what they need, and it seems like the Broncos are just signing whatever they can get.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, it's not always the best guys. It's the right guys, and you ask a guy like Bill Polian, and he would say that's not the way to build your team. He hates free agency. For each team, there's no guarantee that when you bring these guys in, it's going to work out. So, well,
can we agree that neither team is building their team through free agency?
Well, not building their team, no.
Okay.
No.
I mean, can we also agree that Patriots fans would have been thrilled to have re-signed to keep Tlaib, which
sure.
the Patriots tried very, very hard to do?
Sure.
How about T.J. Ward? Do you think Patriots fans would have been happy to have him starting at safety next to Devin McCourty?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
I just wouldn't want to give those.
DeMarcus Ware is the only contract they gave that I wouldn't have given. I think that Mike's point about the name to me fits DeMarcus Ware. I think they signed a name there, a 3-year, $30 million for DeMarcus Ware, not for what the player is.
That's why when they signed him, I said that was better for the Patriots because I think the Broncos were better with Jared Allen than they are with DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah, I agree.
How about Sanders?
Sanders to me is LaFell.
Yeah, 6 of 1, half dozen of the other.
You know, he's Eric Decker replaced.
Yeah,
is he better than
Eric
Decker?
See, that's what I think he might be, is
Decker. He replaces Decker.
He might put up big numbers and people will say, wow, and you're really just saying he's kind of fitting in with everybody else.
Average guy. He replaces Decker, though. They had a need for another one of those guys on the, I don't think he is as much that profile on the outside, but he can play on the outside.
No, he's more a slot guy, but he's going to be in that extra role. It's still going to be Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Welker, assuming he's healthy. I mean, that's going to be, and then he'll get his, and people will say, wow, that's a good signing. Well, was it? Or is that one of those where You could put a lot of different guys in that role, and they're probably going to be pretty successful.
Not if Manning has the drop-off.
And that's true. If Manning can't get them the ball, they're screwed because they have a lot of that's how they're going
to
play.
And that's what I said. You know, everybody's operating under the premise that he's going to remember how to play quarterback. Yeah. And there's, I mean,
well, yeah, that week no 9 match is really going to be a stinker.
Omaha.
There's no indication that he knows how to play quarterback.
Right, every other year,
well, didn't look like it on the first play of the Super Bowl.
Darius is in London. Hey, Darius.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hi, Mike.
No, that's London.
He's in London.
Not Melbourne.
Sorry about that, Darius.
Yeah, that'd be London. I mean, I know you Yanks think us English sometimes sound like Australians, but it's a bit different, I think, about half the world.
Yeah. We know. Anyway, Eric and I know.
Australians are much nicer.
don't paint all Yanks with a broad brush. It's just
Andy. I would say that, Andy, because you gave me a load of abuse for talking about Bill wanting value last week when I was actually trying to give him praise. You guys just cut me off before I had the chance to say, so thanks for that.
Yeah,
that's what Fred does. I never cut you off.
We'll blame Fred then. I'll blame all four if he has that anyway.
Okay. Sounds good. We're a team. Team PFW.
Well, for now, whatever. Anyway. It doesn't really matter either way. Point I have, as far as I'm concerned, Vince is gone. I mean, I can't see us paying anywhere near that money, and I can't see Vince agreeing to the restructure. So my question is, what next, really? I mean, do we sort of look to the draft? I mean, there's a few really interesting defensive tackles. Whether they'll last all the way to 29, I don't know. Do you think possibly one of those is a direct replacement in the first round?
I think it's possible.
It's possible, but I'd rather they do something else there.
Yeah, I'm not in love with drafting a defensive tackle.
Not at all now.
But at 29...
It's almost like a second-round pick.
There's more chances that...
Unlike 33, which is like a first-round pick.
Yes.
You know,
son's a bitch.
Is there more chance that you're going to get, you know, the best defensive tackle at 29 as opposed to tight end?
But why do you...
Or
well, you're not
you're generally not going to get the best anything
probably
at 29
maybe
unless you take a punter or a kicker.
Or a running back.
Well,
you have a chance
right
to get the best
running back.
At 29. But I don't think you're going to get the best tight end at 29 either.
No.
No, that's what I don't think you will.
You're not going to get the best anything
in terms
at 29.
Of value for position at 29.
Oh, I don't know.
Do you think you get more value picking a defensive tackle?
I have no idea.
It depends if there's a run on defensive tackles, then no.
That's my philosophical opposition with the draft to Fred. I don't think there are positions that carry the value like other people. Like people always talk top five pick, there's no consensus. Take the tackle, safe pick, right. I don't think that's any safer than anything
then
else.
I got a bad right tackle named Eric Fisher.
It's high profile when you screw up a quarterback, and that kills you because it's so high profile. It doesn't help you anymore when you screw up, and Eric Fisher certainly looks like he has a chance to be one of those guys. You know, when you screw up a
somebody
tackle,
told you that
Mike Williams from Buffalo, number 4 overall pick, the guy couldn't play. It didn't make them feel any better that they didn't take a quarterback who couldn't play.
So all you end up doing is saying, okay, here's what's on the board. The third defensive end, the third tackle, the second tight end, the fourth receiver. Which one do I want? Which one's the best player out of those? That's where you end up. I don't think you can say, well, I'm going to get a better defensive tackle, or I don't think you can make that generalization.
And I don't even know, you know.
We haven't stacked our board yet.
Just going to say it. But... the second defensive tackle may not be as good as the fifth tight end.
Plus,
who knows?
I still have my concerns about the fit of some of the defensive tackles. The
right.
kid out of Pitt.
Aaron Donald, who I love.
Hageman or whatever. I
don't like him.
No, thanks to him.
He's like Richard Seymour.
Universally agreeing on that one.
But we don't play the Richard Seymour defense anymore. So is he at that height and that frame and that style, is he still the best fit for a 4-3 defensive tackle?
Well, if you're looking for, what I was going to say is, if you're looking for a direct replacement for Wilfork, I mean, Lewis Nix,
yes,
obviously.
You could get a player like that at 29.
And that's
I
his
think.
Theoretical range at this point. But I don't want that. I'm not looking to replace that. The great Paul Perillo has beaten me over the head over the years that's not valuable. No one runs, so therefore I don't stop the run. No one wins by running or stopping the run.
You left out the word that.
So in that case,
that
you maybe
value.
Trade up and look at Aaron Donald instead.
No, I don't like him either. Because I mean, are we going to be a more aggressive
it's
shoot the gap?
It's the position
now, maybe,
I don't want.
Maybe we got Revis now, and we're just going.
It's not the player, Darius. I these players that you're talking about, I kind of like a lot. I think Nix is a good player. I think Donald is a good player. It's not the talent of the individual defensive tackles I don't like.
It's not the right player.
I don't want to take a defensive tackle in the first round because I think there's more valuable spots to fill depending on
if
how
we're
going to
become
out.
Suddenly this aggressive team and he's going to be Warren Sapp, okay, you can sell me on that. But if that's not what we're going to play, I don't know.
Yeah, if he was going to be
value.
Geno Atkins, and that's the guy that he gets a lot of comparisons
correct.
To. That would be a difference maker. That's a deal breaker. That's a Revis. That's, you know, I'm going to do something different than what I believe because I think this guy, this individual guy is special.
Unfortunately, while Brandon Browner apprised me of what the back end is going to do on defense next year, he didn't give me the fronts that are going to go with it and how aggressive we're going to be, so it's hard for me to pick right now.
Well, that was going to bring me on to another point, actually. You look at Seattle in the Super Bowl, they were so effective with the four-man rush against the Broncos that it gave Peyton no time to throw, rush him into decisions. Obviously, the less amount of time a corner quarterback has got to throw, the more of a good chance that the secondary's got to cover those guys. Now, do you think if we don't address the pass rush, you know, the guys like Revis and Browner, they might still end up giving up plays?
I guarantee if you give any quarterback time, they're going to find an open receiver.
If the rush sucks, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
But I don't think we have a sucky rush right now, just not good enough.
Right.
Depending on the game. There were some games they had a sucky rush.
Denver would be a game where you had a sucky rush, yes.
And I think part of that was because it was so late in the season and they had maybe been tired. They'd played 95% of the
snaps. Chandler Jones was a shell of himself.
Playing at altitude, another thing.
That's not bad, Paul. I know you're mocking yourself.
But over here is we said that they were knackered, and I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, they got caught with the pants down.
Yeah.
All right, Darius, thanks for calling in from London.
Good stuff from Darius.
Christian's making another stab at it. Hey, Christian.
Sorry, guys. I went to switch over and I hung up on
you. That's okay.
That's unacceptable.
I'm just glad it wasn't me.
He calls with his tail between his legs.
Well, he should. You'll call us twice, hang up on us. I think this is.
No, what do you mean? What's he doing? Talking to Fred, okay?
You're talking to Fred.
Yeah. I love the signings. Who doesn't? How can you not? One thing that kind of worried me yesterday was Casario said that, you know, he gave the line. He's been a productive player. He's got good size, runs ball, and all that. Here's what scares me. It says, you know, we're going to put him into the mix and we're going to see how his skills translate to what we're doing. Bad idea. Here's what you do. Take all the corners, take the safeties, put them in a room, put Revis in there with them, put the tape up of Revis and say, this is how you play. Okay? Forget your system, forget your all this, put him into the mix and all that. Then throw it off the window. Okay? That's all. That's just one little thing I had.
Yeah, we certainly don't want to say, oh, we're going to make you play zone and do this. Yeah.
Yeah,
but I feel pretty comfortable with what Brandon Browner said yesterday that, you know, they play a lot of man here. We're both good man matchup corners. We're going to match up a lot.
Yes, that's all great. And, you know, to sign him and, yeah, to hear that, exactly. It's I can't wait. I just can't wait to see them out there doing their thing.
You going to buy a Revis jersey?
I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, Paul's kind of beating it to my head that, like, once you're past 25, you're not supposed to wear jerseys anymore.
Right. Well, there's also
Northeastern. No, you can wear them to games. Do you go? You go to the games, Christian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring strippers.
There's nothing wrong with wearing a shirt to a game. I don't care how old you are.
Paul has Lewis Northeastern boxers, for crying out loud.
No, I bought my son a Reggie Lewis.
You should customize one, Christian. Get a Simonelli Patriots jersey.
Yeah, I probably should. I think you're right. I got a Brady.
You should just put Chris with a TIAN on it.
Actually, yeah, that would be funnier.
You just put, all right.
Or they'll be fine.
They'll be fine. Breaking pillage. How about that, Fred?
There you go.
I bet you they wouldn't let you make that one.
In today's world, you probably couldn't.
Remember they had that whole list of banned words on jerseys you can't put on it?
Right.
Yeah. Couldn't get a Randall Gage jersey.
See, Dick probably couldn't get his own jersey.
You can get a LaFell jersey.
See, Dick?
He's actually from, where is he, South Carolina? See, Dick?
Oh,
remember
him?
There were two Dicks on the
Arkansas
team?
Curtis.
Arkansas. And there was a See, Dick and a something else
Curtis
Dick.
Okay. Yeah.
He can't get his own name on a custom jersey if he wants
We're
it.
Talking jerseys, though. Brandon LaFell is tweeting out that he is trying to decide between 10 and 19.
I'd go 19.
Because I would go 19.
Keyshawn?
10 just does not appeal to me.
Yeah, 19's better.
You would go 19?
Yeah, I would go 19.
Yeah. I want a crooked number.
Yeah.
And speaking of LaFell...
19 was my number in college, so I'm partial to 19. Right.
Where does he line up? And I'll leave you guys with that question. I got to get back to work.
Preferably on the outside.
Where does he line up in this offense?
Joel LaFell?
Yeah, I think he is going to be sort of leaning toward the outside. He's played a lot of slot in Carolina, but you have a lot of slot receivers already.
I was going to say, that inside is
kind of... I got him at L2 on the kickoff team.
Somebody's got to be on the outside because there's too much inside.
Can't have a slot without an outside.
Can't have an inside without an outside.
I may have misspoke. Andy, Mr. Football, does the higher numbers to the outside or the inside?
Starts inside and counts out.
So L5 then.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't want a wide receiver on the inside.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see these guys unfold. You know, Dobson, if he's not out there, I think that opens up more LaFell reps early in camp.
That's a good point.
It'll be interesting to see how they're used because they are not all traditional. You know, even Edelman, remember the Felger, I did line up 51% of the time on the outside, but you can call me a slot if you want. They have different guys.
You're a slot receiver.
Be interesting. And who knows, tight end-wise, what they end up drafting slash signing to sort of be that pass catcher.
I guarantee you, if they had two legitimate full-time outside receivers, Edelman's numbers would not have been 51% on the outside.
That's probably accurate.
Colin in Belgium writes in at webradio at patriots.com, it may be just me, but I think Wilfork asking for his release makes him more likely to stay here, not less. Hear me out. When he says this, he's not talking to the Patriots, he's talking to the league. And if the league thinks he's about to be cut, why trade him? Why trade for him? So the Patriots' only option to cut him for nothing or eat the cap hit, I think they're more likely to eat the cap hit. Wilfork knows this, and he calls their bluff, but in the media so everyone can hear. Why would he restructure and lose money? I don't think this is bad blood between them, just business, baby, just business. I'll bet he resigns, probably with a better deal than the Patriots' first offer. What do you think?
I don't see it the same way, but I agree with one part of that email in that I feel like this is not any bitterness on Wilfork's part. It's business. You know, we talked about that interview that he had with Showtime in January where we talked about knowing it's coming, and then people said, I don't know what's changed. I don't think anything's changed for Vince. I think he knew this was coming. I don't think he's upset about it. I think he's looking at it the same way the Patriots are. It's just business. And he's looking out for the best deal that he thinks he can get. Now, again, he may be wrong as to what he can get on the open. If he were to be a free agent tomorrow, I'm not sure he could get what he thinks he might be able to get. But I don't think this makes it any more or less. I don't think the Patriots are going to trade him. He's in his last year of his deal. No one wanted Darrelle Revis because, you know, they knew that they're either going to have to hold on to him or they're going to cut him. They don't have to trade him. I don't think that he's an attractive trade chip right now. Someone going to give you, a seventh-round pick for him just so you don't have to negotiate with everybody else? I don't think he's much of a tradable commodity anyway. But to me, I think it is. I think the email is right that it's all business. I think it's both sides are looking at this as what's in the best interest of me. You know, for Bill, it's the team, and for Vince, it's Wilfork.
Scotty B from Huntington Beach, can we put contingencies on Wilfork's release and not allow him to sign with certain teams?
That would test even the power of Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft.
Would be a Jedi.
It's like college football when you let a guy out of his scholarship and you can't stay in conference.
You can't go into conference.
Stay in the state of Texas.
Aside from the emotional part of it, would you care what team he went to? I mean, emotionally, as a fan, you wouldn't want to see him wear a Jets uniform or a Dolphins uniform. Right. I get that. But in terms of on field, would it really bother you?
No.
It wouldn't bother me. I don't think what's he going to do?
It's bad enough that,
we're letting him go, so we think he's done.
That's my point.
It's bad enough.
When we sent Bledsoe to Buffalo. We thought he was done, so we wanted him in division.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I think it's the
That helped it.
That's what I mean.
What he's saying.
If I let a guy go that I think is done.
Not only that, he ended up winning the division for you that year. Because he ended up beating Miami twice. One division for him.
Why does he remember this? Pull Drew out of your ass.
Jonathan,
who do you love more, Reggie Lewis or Drew Bledsoe?
He actually didn't win the division for the Patriots.
Bledsoe or Lewis?
Bledsoe or Reggie Lewis? Reggie Lewis. Blowout.
Is it just because he died? Is there a sentimental value there?
No.
If Drew had died in a plane crash in 96?
Congratulations to John Rook, Providence. In the
congratulations to John Brook.
He's the voice of the Friars.
No, I know, but he didn't do anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's part of the win.
I'm sure
if they got a ring, he'd get one.
Oh, absolutely.
Ring? Yeah.
He will get
one.
They won the Big East
tournament.
Okay, there you go.
They're the champs.
They won the Big East tournament championship.
So I think Providence, Harvard, Connecticut, and UMass are all in.
That is correct.
In the dance.
What seems to be missing?
Northeastern.
Oh no, that's actually not what I was talking about. I was talking Boston College, but.
Did anyone see the?
Still hoping. For
I know
the
you did, Paul. Anybody see the Big East 30 for 30 on ESPN the other night? Very well done,
Ray Nitschke.
Oh yeah, really good.
It was good.
Dave Gavitt in there.
Oh yeah, a lot of Dave Gavitt.
I almost hit him with a golf ball in Hyannis.
He has a story.
Intentionally?
About
no, wait. I got that right. He almost hit me with a golf ball. That's right.
Wait, I got that
intentionally?
Wrong.
Yeah. No, but
you are.
He went across fairways.
An habitual liar.
It's funny. It's he always says he's not rich, but I don't have Dave Gavitt golfing stories.
He either has
my friend worked at the golf course, so I got to go on.
He either has a story about playing tennis or golf on the Cape,
right? With famous people.
I spent a lot of time on the Cape, you know.
I don't know.
Because you're rich.
Because you're rich.
I've never been on a Cape golf course with commissioner of the Big East or anything.
Says the man with like 20 acres.
Blah, 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 blah.
It takes him 4.5 hours to mow the lawn.
I know.
And do the trimming.
It's got 2 zip codes, for crying out loud. Jonathan writes,
such idiots.
I assume the construction.
It's like boom, boom, boom.
Right, right. He has to get a weather report for the other side of his lawn.
A weather report. $5 a Honway.
Do you have anything like any housing or like shed, you know, that's way away from the house?
Be
like
considered a guest
you
house?
You need like a phone in case someone's out there. We don't have to have them, you know. They can't hear you when you yell across.
Well, I have one to put phone in the old garage, like the barn.
See?
Yeah.
The old garage. Is that where the cellar is?
Who has that?
Well, it was attached to the old house that used to be there.
Who has an old garage?
I don't have a new garage. I don't have a garage.
You don't have a garage.
You don't have a garage in your house. That's right.
Not at all.
Although,
like, you couldn't if you wanted it tomorrow.
I can't. If I could, I would have it today.
You could.
I can't.
Because you're rich.
Wait a minute. Why can't you?
I don't want. If like barely getting by is your.
Because everyone I know who drives a Lexus and sends their kids to like post-grad year and has an in-ground swimming pool is rich.
It was there when I bought the house, dummy.
Well, if you bought the Lexus, house,
right.
That-
Yeah, it was there when I bought this million-dollar mansion.
Yeah, I mean, there's a house down the end of my street that I would love, but, you know, I can't afford it.
Right.
So.
You've seen my house.
The bowling alley was there when I bought the place.
There's an indoor pool at that house. You know, the one in the corner there. I always say, that's the house I want.
You're
Andy,
rich.
Andy
it's
saw
okay.
It the first time. He goes, keep dreaming.
I don't hold it against you that you're rich.
Me and the guy down the street were changing pipes over the weekend because they're falling
you were
apart.
Laying what?
That sounds a little Michael Sam.
Laying pipe?
We were examining each other's pipes.
Plumbing.
What's Babe Winkleman up to today?
Let's go to Jonathan's email. He says, I assume the construction at Gillette Stadium is still going on.
Good. Yes, so, very much so.
If so, someone should contact Brady's architect and get specs on building a moat around Gillette Stadium, now known as Revis Island. Think of making the opposite team cross a bridge to come into the stadium. That'd be good. You lower the drawbridge to allow them in. They have to wait there with the buses.
You have sharks.
They have to wait with the buses.
Sharks with lasers on them.
Yeah.
Drop the portcullis on
I
them.
I like
when
that.
They get
That's not a bad
through.
Idea. If we were the Buccaneers, I would definitely do it.
Well, they do have that cool ship.
I know. I saw it. If I had the Buccaneers, I would build a moat.
We have a lighthouse.
A drawbridge.
We have a lighthouse. Lighthouses, islands, that we kind do? Of stuff. That big phallic symbol over there is a lighthouse. Oh.
And how exactly does the moat translate to a pirate?
I don't know. Pirates storming a castle.
Have fun storming the castle.
Usually pirates storm castles.
Usually it was
knights.
Yeah,
it has to do with a moat.
I don't know. There's just not a lot of castles in New England.
No,
there are. Old England there are.
Because castles were from like 1,000 years ago, not recent history.
In Spanish architecture down in Florida, they had castles.
But what do you need a castle for?
There's castles in Florida.
Yeah.
Disney World.
Right. Fake modern castles.
Right. Well, isn't there no St. Augustine? Is
St. Augustine, well, it's a fort. Oh, it's a fort.
You're right.
Yeah, there's plenty of forts around.
Yeah.
But there's no, like, castles.
No, I guess not.
Except, you know, fake ones.
What do we need a castle for?
Brady's house in Chestnut Hill.
That, no, I don't know. Why are
we
talking about castles? We had one, Matt.
Because we want a drawbridge and a moat.
Well done.
Anyway, he says.
We could have a moat, though. That'd be kind of cool around the whole stadium.
Yeah.
It's hard enough to get in.
Matt Light comes and fly fishes in it. I'd be 100% in favor of cutting Wolfort to save money on the cap and using the space to bring in a pass rusher. But seeing how much Ware and Pepper's got, Jared Allen's asking price has to be just as high. I'm not sure you can justify paying a 30-something-year-old guy that much money.
I could.
The player we missed out on is Justin Tuck. He's an elite pass rusher who got reasonable money compared to the other veteran pass rushers.
That's true. Really, the player we missed out on was John Abraham.
Yeah, well,
the first time.
Yeah.
Because we actually supposedly were, you know, in the ballpark with him.
At a really lower price.
Not low enough, though.
No.
We asked him to pay us, and he wouldn't do it.
Dan writes in, first off, last week was phenomenal.
Right.
It would be hypocritical for me to start talking about all the moves the Patriots still need to make, but here it goes, I guess. I know next year is next year, but whether or not they plan to retain Revis is a factor. If they don't plan to pick up the option and are putting all their eggs in 2014's basket, then they don't have enough eggs. I can't wait to see what's coming up next, but the Broncos have basically filled all of their major needs already and thus are still beating us. Speaking of the Broncos, thank God they signed Emmanuel Sanders. Now everyone, Fred, can stop talking about him. We arguably got the better player in LaFell, Over the same span, LaFell has put up similar numbers, except he's taller and made more long plays without the benefit of burners like Wallace and Antonio Brown on the other side. Okay? You agree with that? LaFell better than Sanders?
I don't think much of either one of them, to be honest with you. But, no, I don't think LaFell is all that great.
Dismissive.
Well, he thinks like five guys in the NFL are any good.
Wait a minute. If you don't want my opinion, don't ask for it.
I'm just laughing.
He's so sensitive.
Very sensitive.
I mean, I don't really think either. I never saw what your infatuation was with Sanders. And now I'm not going to all of a sudden say he's a great player just because Denver signed him.
I would just say he's better than
what
we had.
I don't think Brandon LaFell is as good as Sanders. So I'm not really as impressed with either one of those guys as maybe everybody else is.
He's going to push out.
LaFell was in an offense with Ted Ginn and Steve Smith. They can't run?
Well, Smith can't anymore. That was his.
I think he's done. I mean, there's no question about that. But
that was very classic Paul Perillo, using Smith as a speed burner to help foster his argument while he really thinks he's done and sucks and didn't want him.
No, right. I'm talking about the perception of what's around him. I mean, he had Antonio Brown last year, and who else? Jericho Cotchery?
Well, he included
Mike Wallace wasn't there
last year. But from 2 years
ago. So if you want to go further removed, Steve Smith was a more viable receiver.
He was.
If we get three years ago.
Steve Smith had like 17 yards of catch.
So that's all I'm saying.
It's true.
Let's
Paul's
see.
Always right. Don't argue with him.
Warren writes in.
I just don't think they're very good.
I understand that Browner is suspended for 4 games. Therefore, is he banned from the facilities for all 4 weeks, or can he train with the team but just not play?
Banished.
Banned.
I assume
outside the moat.
He won't be there during training camp in the preseason. Right. It's after the preseason that he is banished.
Love the show. Shout out to everyone. Put me down for lunch one day.
Will do. Chris
Thursday,
Pereira.
Thursday's
save
open.
That email.
So... Or pass it along to Kevin when he...
No, Kevin's, don't, because he loses them and he's useless.
Yeah. Kevin's still gone. Huh?
Thank God.
Nick in Illinois writes, and I'm pretty thrilled about the moves the team's made so far. I wanted to share a funny story with you guys. Once the news of Browner came across, one of the Dolphins reporters implored the fan base to take deep breaths. Now here's the funny part. One of the Dolphins fans responded by saying, why? Without Wilfork, that defense is easy pickings. It would be great if GMs thought he was a guy who could make or break an entire defense, then we could trade him for some high picks. Speaking of the defensive tackle position, why do some fans think that defensive tackle is a huge area of need? Do you guys take calls during the draft shows? If the Patriots take a defensive tackle in the first round that isn't primarily an inside pass rusher, I'll need to rant. Well, we do take calls.
We'll take calls, and I look forward to hearing from you.
You won't have to. Eric will be the one ranting.
Oh,
Eric is very, very upset.
Well, I look forward to the second round when Eric starts talking about Tavon Wilson again.
Well, hopefully they don't make that mistake again.
No. I mean Tavon Wilson, not the next Tavon Wilson.
He was right.
John and Hong Kong.
He's absolutely right.
They drafted a special teamer in the second round.
John and Hong Kong.
I didn't say he was wrong.
The details
I look forward
contract.
To it.
4 years, $17 million, another two in incentives, $8 million guaranteed, but only six of it is skill guarantee. Another two is injury guarantee.
So less guarantee than Amendola, right? He was $10 million guaranteed, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And less total.
Mike says...
Less years, less total, less guarantee, less everything. Less respect.
Mike says all the positivity in this town sucks. So let me be a real fan and bring a little objectivity to the rainbow and puppy crowd. We've rented Revis for a year, so we need to win big now. I can't believe that Belichick would play chicken with the only reliable, currently healthy receiver on the team. Edelman should never have been allowed to leave the building without a deal. We need more receivers and a pass rusher via free agency. We cannot depend on a rookie to step up. All these people saying we'll be great with a healthy Mayo forget that other teams will also get their injured players back. Wilfork will either be gone or unlikely to be at his best. There will be injuries next season as well. Peace out from the smells good reality land of Florida.
Well, they did try to make keep Edelman in the building.
Yeah.
They did try to make sure
that before free agency starts. Go.
Yeah. Just, you know.
He called their bluff. And
Matt's writing in that Browner did play safety for a short period of time when he entered the league. Reese or Howe tweeted that out.
Yeah, we knew that, but.
8 years ago.
He's a corner. He has been.
When Browner first came. Yeah, no. He said that he has not been talked to about safety at all.
It's going
to
match up.
Doesn't mean he won't play safety. He just hasn't been talked to about it at all.
Let's see. A lot of people still want to bring in Jared Allen.
Join the club.
Yep. Terrence from Long Island. I know with the signing of LaFell and re-signing of JE11, We have pretty crowded wide receiver spot, but is it too much to ask to bring Kenny Britt into the mix? Either that or draft that 6'6 kid out of Rutgers. I love Dobson, Tompkins, Boyce, but they just don't give me a feeling of comfort this upcoming year. Also, what are the chances we take a top tight end with one of the first two picks?
Good. Yeah, I don't feel comfortable signing a guy who might get arrested. Chances are pretty good, given his history. So, no thanks, Kenny Britt. I'd rather draft a guy.
That guy Coleman from Rutgers, I don't know if it's just the Rutgers connection or the side. Like, people have fallen in love with him, and he's like a nobody. He's like a nothing prospect.
This year's Mark Harrison?
Less than that, I think he's thought of. You know, really? He didn't have any incidents in the hotel
room. No, I don't. I mean, on the field.
Yeah.
By the way, Teddy Bridgewater's pro day, just meh, I guess.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
A lot of people weren't all that impressed.
That's why you have to look at game tape, which is what really matters.
Chad writes.
Or interview him at the combine.
This one's really for Paul. He says, with Brady's unlike Brady performance of last year, are you concerned about his performance this upcoming year? Was it only the lack of receivers, or was there more to his age and injuries?
It was both.
I mean, I think the age.
First of all, do you agree with it? Was it an unlike Brady year?
It was subpar for him. It was still better than most quarterbacks, but it was for him subpar.
He didn't have a lot to work with.
I don't think he had a lot to work with either. And I also think there has been
pretty good when Gronk was out there.
There has been some dip in his play. I think there are things that he can't do now that he used to be able to do. But for the most part, on a weekly basis, I think he's so far away from your problem. It's not really even worth it. You know, regular season. That's what I said, okay. On a weekly basis. Yeah. I said that.
I didn't know if you.
That
you
was
know,
intentional.
On a weekly basis in the postseason.
Right.
You think he's good and then not good
things
the next
change.
Week.
Windows get tighter. Pressure gets higher.
A lot of window talk with Brady. Windows are tighter. Windows are closing. A lot of window talk.
But I do think last year is.
Right not, windows. $1.44.
I wouldn't put last year on Tom Brady with the guys that he was throwing to.
White, double hung.
Scott writes in, I was listening to Fred's...
he said double hung.
No, there's a commercial. Right there.
I know what...
Some lizards are double hung, you know.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Again, it's
no, it's serious. He said it.
No, I was mocking you.
No, I know, but then you brought it... I did see a lizard thing on one of my National Geographic shows that have two dongs.
All right. Scott writes in, I was listening to Fred's faux logic, and it reminded me of this line in The Deer Hunter. This is this. This is not something else. This is this. Okay.
What does that mean?
So now with Vince packing,
I saw the Deer Hunter, but I cannot.
That's De Niro talking to the guy.
I don't remember all the lines from The Deer Hunter.
I don't think I've seen that.
It's a great movie, by the way. You've never seen Deer Hunter?
Really, really good movie.
What's it about?
Epic. Guy's coming back from Vietnam and adjusting and some other things.
Oh, that was the one that inspired the assassination attempt on Reagan.
Was it?
I believe so.
I thought that was...
No, that was Jodie Foster.
Yeah, Jodie Foster, right.
Someone was infatuated with Jodie Foster. Hinckley. Yes.
John Hinckley.
He did that to impress Jodie Foster. And Jodie Foster wasn't in The Deer Hunter.
Pretty sure there's a Deer Hunter connection to the Reagan assassination attempt.
Yeah, it might be, but I always thought it was the Jodie Foster connection.
Oh. Anyway,
wait, did we ever get the Crucible?
Once again,
oh, I didn't look that
very up. Little information about a lot of different topics.
So now with Vince
PFW in progress.
That's right.
With Vince packing, does defensive tackle seem like the first round focus? Tuitt seems slotted about right. I have seen nicks on some of these experts' nitwits draft trackers, but I don't think that he'll still be around at 29. Jennings, Hegman, Aaron Donald is gone. I don't see another defensive tackle that will be there at 29, which takes me back to putting a starter on the field with the first round pick, and the tight end position has two. Amaro and Safarian Jenkins. I know it's early, but do you think it will come down to who's left at these two positions when Bill decides to trade down? By the way, 7 weeks before the draft, no one had Chandler Jones even in the conversation of the first round, so this is a complete waste of time.
Well, then we'll read the next email.
I believe Chandler Jones was in the discussion. I don't know if it was 7 weeks before the draft, but we got close to the draft.
I don't know how far away it was, but we ended up having it as a prediction on the website. Andy put it down for his pick.
Richard writes in, any news on Blunt?
Hey, Dick.
And have they worked out a solution to the throwback jerseys this season?
I haven't heard one word about LeGarrette Blunt since free agency started.
Nope.
I haven't either. The only time I've heard from him was when he was congratulating Tlaib.
Yeah.
Apparently he didn't cash in on that little role he got on late in the year. you know, a little momentum. Hey, I'm great. Oh, 8 touchdowns. Woo, look at me.
He's also a running back.
Everybody else said,
that market is
hey,
not really,
Paul is right. You know. Doesn't matter who's running the ball. Anybody
Paul's
can
right.
Do
defense doesn't win championships.
Anybody can do it.
Wah,
running the
wah.
Ball. Anybody can do it.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata, riddle me why someone Browner to switch to safety. Game. Why move a physical press corner further away from the action? Doesn't make sense to me.
You're right.
Also, why haven't we heard one peep about re-signing Blunt? Another email about Blunt.
Because he's a running back, and they aren't really valued that much in this game anymore.
Wow. That's even more dismissive than me.
And it's only the first week of free agency.
True.
He wasn't ever going to be a prime-time free agent. Got to get LeGarrette Blunt in for a visit. Don't let him leave the back.
He'll be back.
I think
he'll be back.
I think there's a chance he's back.
I think there's a chance it doesn't matter.
Alex
in
Philly.
I don't think it matters, but I think there's a chance he could be back.
Although Jimmy Stark's going back to Green Bay, so one of my fallback options is not going to be on the market.
That's going to hurt.
Alex in Philly, I must be dreaming. The Patriots are actually spending money for talent. I know we talked about
last year when they spent $31 million. Have they even spent $31 million yet?
Did you hear the whole sentence?
No.
For talent.
For talent. In capitals.
I've never said they're cheap. And a lot
they
of
spent
other...
for talent last year. They just blew it.
I know.
They misevaluate said talent.
I know
but
we
that wasn't a cheap one. That wasn't we're going to sign $4 million
it's
players.
It's not cheap.
They targeted a guy they thought was the next Wes Welker.
There's been other guys
right?
that they've given money to that I didn't think were worth it, too. It's
like
not,
Wes Welker.
It's not always cheap.
They gave him
$18
million.
I'm wrong. That's a good point.
No. Save that to tape.
I know
point,
we talked about...
they overpaid
Welker. Well, sometimes you're wrong.
I know we talked about loading up, and it looks like we're loading up, and it feels like we're loading up, yet I still can't believe we're actually loading up. Now, if only the Lions and Texans would cut Calvin Johnson and J.J. Watt respectfully.
Not respectively.
Respectfully.
We respectfully release you.
And
we
bow.
We know
Patriots.
You're a good player, but we
my fantasy would be
else.
Complete.
All due respect.
Anyway, about Vince, I don't want to see him go, but I'm probably on Paul's side of the street when it comes to a big run-stuffing tackle. You can always get one. There's no way he's worth that high cap number, so we should cut him and sign a veteran like Kevin Williams or Henry Melton. Draft a guy in the third or fourth, and the run DV shouldn't suffer that much. Draft question. Who is the best pass rusher in the draft besides Clowney, and do you guys like Dree Archer? He's a speedy playmaker who could help our return game and maybe on offense, too. Who's the best pass rusher after Clowney?
I don't know about pure pass rusher, but I kind of like D. Ford. I don't know if he's a, you know, what you would consider a pure pass. I mean, can you get on the mic when you're talking? No one can hear you.
Yeah. What are you doing?
He's looking up Crucible.
I don't know why he can't be on the microphone when he's looking at his phone, but it's very rude.
Why? The guy on Maddie in the Morning has been doing it for years, and they've been a very productive, healthy show.
Jordan from Wilmington, North Carolina. I've been waiting all weekend for this radio show, and I've been eager to hear your opinions on all the work the Patriots have done since signing that guy from Tampa. I think his name is Darius Rucker or something like that. Anyway, besides Revis, I'm extremely excited about Brandon Browner.
Only one of me and you.
For lack of a better term, Brandon is a banger. And I don't mean that sexually, Paul. He's an absolute beast.
Andy.
Which
That's
is
Sharper, who Paul wants to get, who's a
He's
banger.
He's an absolute
Henry
beast,
Melton
which is refreshing
too.
Since we're used to softer Patriots defenses. I also anticipate a big year from Brandon LaFell.
Oh, not a player.
Finally, we have
a guy
who can go up and get the ball. Expect a lot more five-wide sets with him out there. Now all we need is a first-round defensive lineman and a tight end in the draft. Other than that, I'm extremely pleased with what we have been working with right now. Sorry for the longevity. I don't email often. Can't wait until the next AFC Championship game against the Colts. Sorry, Broncos. The Cowboys let DeMarcus Ware go for a reason. Don't overreact to the Broncos' offseason moves. They won't be as good as people think, especially considering they have to play the NFC West this year.
So. Well, if DeMarcus Ware stinks, what did they lose? Besides money. Like they didn't.
Sean Phillips. You can make an argument that Sean Phillips didn't stink for them last year, and they're probably not going to have him back. He's still a free agent, I believe.
I believe, yeah.
So you could say they swapped Phillips for Ware, and if Ware isn't as good as Phillips was, they lost something. I just think it's really disingenuous on the part of Patriots fans to sit here and trumpet how great, I think rightly so, how great the Revis move is and dump all over Denver for mindlessly spending money on Ward and Tlaib. I think they made good moves too.
They did.
I'll take Revis over Tlaib any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Well,
I'll take Revis.
Well,
Revis is a better player than Akib Tlaib. But they needed to upgrade a cornerback, and they did, because Tlaib is a better player than Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie.
Kingsley has straightened Andy out about
Crucible?
Deer Hunter. He said,
no, I'm right about Crucible. I'll read that in a minute.
He says, Andy's thinking of Taxi Driver, which starred De Niro and Jodie Foster. De Niro tried to assassinate the mayor in the movie, and the Reagan guy fell in love with Foster on that.
Okay.
So,
A crucible is a container that can withstand very high temperatures and is used for metal, glass, and pigment production, as well as a number of modern laboratory processes.
I don't remember what we were arguing about.
I don't really either, but I think I'm right.
Give me one of these Bubba blades.
Chris is reading up about...
You don't fish. You don't hunt. You need to cut your pizza with a Bubba blade?
For that right there.
You don't barbecue.
Of course I do.
You do like low and slow rack of rib length things?
I have.
I don't buy it.
I think there's out there that DeSean Jackson is tradable.
I don't want him.
No?
I hate DeSean
Jackson.
He's
a problem.
I think he's a dink. I saw him give up and tank it like Randy Moss only thought of.
Unbelievable. They'll take Kenny Britt, but they won't take DeSean Jackson.
I'm not in love with Britt either.
I said I would not take Kenny
Britt.
Not
you. Oh. Not you.
Who are you talking to?
I don't like anybody. Let's call it right.
I don't like anybody.
Pot? Kettle? Kettle? Pot? Have you two met? And he's right. Just don't laugh this off, Eric, because you don't. Because you said if you couldn't get Calvin Johnson or Larry Fitzgerald, you didn't want a receiver.
But
he doesn't like anybody either.
He likes
like five players in the whole league.
No, I don't like guys that are off arrested. You know, multiple arrests. I just think there are other good players that you can find. I think that we do it intentionally because we're trying to get less on that particular guy. Kenny Britt, to me, is a waste of time. I don't even want to talk about signing him. I don't even want to think about signing him. He's a waste of space. DeSean Jackson has some volatility to his game. There's no question. Off the field, he has got a really good reputation. Now, I'm sure that he's gotten into trouble, just like a lot of these guys do. But...
No, he does a good job with all those PR. Oh, the bullied kid. I'm going to put him on Oprah with me, and I look great.
He has some volatility to his game on the field, not unlike a guy like Dez Bryant, who I would also take, who, you know, you would call me a hypocrite for that. I don't think it's the same as being arrested 9 times, including some on felonies and some where he's involved with stabbings that he refused to talk to police about. That's what you're getting with Kenny Britt. It's not just like,
Super Bowl MVP linebacker?
He got caught.
Who's now on ESPN telling us how great he is?
Yeah, that's the same.
It is.
No, it's not.
He was involved in a stabbing where he rolled on his buddies.
And by the way, I want no part of Ray Lewis on my team either. I've said that a million times.
As long as everybody's
consistent.
On this
show, I've said it a million times. But
we know who you are. You don't like anybody who's had any screw-ups.
St. Paul's Academy.
I just got finished explaining to you how it can be different.
It's where you went.
DeSean Jackson has had plenty of screw-ups.
See, I don't think he has. Not like Kenny Britt.
No, not like that.
He's just a dink.
That's where I think it's different.
He's a football screw-up. He tanked it for an entire season until he got a new contract, and then he was fine again. I'd rather have Dez Bryant than DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson's very low on my football.
And you'd rather have Kenny Britt?
No, I wouldn't.
I thought you said you wanted to sign.
I don't want either. No, I never said I wanted to sign.
No, I thought you
I would take him, and I would just say if you screw up once, but I don't want him.
I thought you
I would have. I'm not like you. I wouldn't have a problem with
it. My apologies.
I'm not looking to invest in him.
I thought you said you
wanted
him.
But unlike you, I wouldn't freak out if they signed a bad guy.
I absolutely wouldn't freak out.
I think I might have said if they hadn't signed LaFell, I'd be more interested in talking.
Yeah, I thought Andy said upstairs that he wanted to have Kenny Britt.
I just don't have a problem with it either way.
I don't freak out about it. It's their money. I say it's the same way all the time. It's not my money that they're spending. That's why I don't care about the cap. I don't care about those things. It's up to them how they want to spend their money.
I don't really care. I mean, to some degree, I care if they're really bad guys, but I think a lot of them are really bad guys. A lot of them are really good guys, too. That's kind of my whole Tim Tebow rant. Like, I don't think Kenny Britt's the only bad guy in the NFL, just like I don't think Tim Tebow is the only good guy.
But I know he's a bad guy.
Yeah, I think
I don't know everybody else is a bad guy. You might be right. There might be more bad guys out there that we know of. But this guy I know of. And to knowingly bring him on the team is just a waste of everybody's time. But it's their prerogative. They can do whatever they want.
I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't. Plus, I don't think he's very good.
You guys are the only show, this is Felix from Houston, you guys are the only show that keeps me sane and aren't talking about March Madness. Super excited about all the additions and re-signings we've made. So I guess Tlaib went to go cash that check, baby.
Homie.
He won't do much in Denver, as pot is legal, so he'll be in trouble very soon.
I love that. Like we assume he didn't smoke pot here.
He stinks. You didn't know? He stinks. Matt Chatham.
So is Danny on the Mandola going to be a big contribution, or will he be just a decoy out there? As far as LaFell, I really like the addition. I played against him in high school where he was a quarterback, and I sacked him once when he went in at receiver and burned us for like six TDs and a punt return. The kid was on something else. All in all, please keep up the great work. Also, my girlfriend surprised me with an iPad Air last week and a subscription to Patriots Football Daily. Thank you very much for that. Felix in Houston.
That's a common high school thing. The really good kid. He was on something. He was juicing or something before, you know, no one else.
Yeah.
Or he's just a world-class athlete.
He was obviously pretty good.
But it's a good story to have that he sacked him once.
Sure.
I mean, that's one of those you tell. Polkai.
And then he went out to receiver. Yeah.
That's a good story.
Yeah, that's a good story.
I struck out Charles Johnson.
Not getting eaten by a lion in Africa. That's not a good story.
That's a good story, too.
He's an all-star catcher.
A plane disappearing. Good story. Not to the 239 people on board, but a great story.
Gary T. Sarcina hit a line drive about 3 feet off the ground that hit the wall.
What's your theory?
I think it's parked somewhere.
I do, too.
Parked.
I
think they landed it somewhere.
I think they landed it somewhere. I can't figure out how.
Where?
No one saw this plane land.
Well, no, they have a theory that came out yesterday called shadowing. This guy who's like, he's a hobbyist, but he's really into this thing. He says that if this thing got into the shadow of another 777 below it, that the radar would actually only pick up one plane.
That's almost as bad as my theory that if it followed the line of the radar in a loop, you'd never see it.
No, but that's fine. How did it land and no one saw it land?
Well, because
and once it landed,
once it gets to a certain point, it just drops off and lands.
But people are on the ground.
Yeah,
I'm talking about radar. No,
but in some of these shady countries,
there's all these little airways and stuff. My thinking is
three people might have saw it, and they shot all three.
My theory was that
cell phones.
Fair point.
Are they not working out there?
We took those away.
The pilot was in on a plot to take the plane, and they need to use the plane to transport a nuclear bomb. Because that's the whole thing with these countries that you know.
It's a very negative. Like,
you know, they can build a bomb, but now you need a transport system to use the bomb, and they don't have that. That's the other part of being a nuclear country.
They couldn't just charter a plane? They had to hijack one with people on board?
Well, now you have a plane at your use, you know?
Yeah, but the whole world's looking for it.
Yeah.
Before, you had a, if you just hijack, I mean, if you just
charter a plane, nobody's going to look twice.
It is an unbelievable story.
I find it fascinating.
Yeah.
I've added it to the Aaron Hernandez situation as things I want to see the movie about someday.
Yeah.
Because it is, I don't really buy the shadowing thing.
That sounds,
well, that was a theory that came out yesterday.
How the hell do you make sure you're right underneath it?
Yeah, well, if
and how do you get underneath it?
Yeah,
make a good 30 for 30.
And couldn't they see it?
Hernandez. I'm not even interested in that.
No, couldn't the plane
they
see
said
it?
If you're far enough below, and your transponders have been turned off, the plane above.
I should make fun of him about taking his helmet off all the time.
I did see a random tweet that said,
"Consider myself lucky to be alive."
Why do they have off switches on the transponder?
Right.
Seems like you don't have an off switch on the black box. Mm. So the transponder shouldn't have an off switch.
What they do is they have some black electrical tape over it, so no one shuts it off.
But I find it fascinating. And I hope it is not just at the bottom of the ocean, because the story becomes less great if that is
if everybody's
case.
Dead?
Well, it's not so much about everybody being dead. If everybody was killed when they landed the plane to move the nuclear bomb,
that's
still a great story.
I don't think it's that great.
I still think it's fascinating.
It becomes a tragedy.
Fascinating.
Oh, it is a tragedy.
I'm still sort of holding
but
out
it's still
hope
a great
that these
story.
People are just, you know.
It's fascinating.
If
it's
a bird flew through the engine and it accidentally crashed into the ocean, not a good story.
Not a fascinating story. I there's a difference.
Good,
great.
Fascinating. We all use
it's not good parsing
words here.
For those people, it's a crucible.
You don't even know what the word means, so you can't use it.
I do know what it means.
You didn't when we started the show.
No, I did know what it meant at the start of the show. I didn't know there was an alternate definition.
Yeah, you got an alternate definition.
Chris from Miami writes in, with the linebacker position being thinned down with the Spikes and Fletcher signing to other teams.
Oh, yeah, Fletcher went to the Bucks.
Right.
And oh, yeah, whoop-de-doo.
Spikes went to the Bills. Do you think the chance of the Patriots taking Michael Sam in the fourth or fifth round increased?
No.
I like the thought of a 3-4 formation. Hightower and or Sam could be rushing the passer in Mayo, and Collins could be in coverage. Yeah, I mean, there's a chance that they'll draft a linebacker, but why Sam? There's plenty of better linebackers.
By all accounts, he doesn't have anything needed to play linebacker.
Yeah, and Michael Sam, by all accounts, is a borderline draftable commodity at this point.
Who pigeonholed himself similarly as a pass rusher. Let me just chase the quarter, put my hand in the ground, chase. I don't know why you're telling me you can't do anything else. That's not doesn't seem very wise.
No.
Right? Don't you go to the combine trying to sell everybody you can do everything? Most players say, I can play safety, I can play corner, wherever you need me to, I can cover kicks. He went there and said, just put me in a role where I'm just going
to
chase the quarterback.
Usually, you
have
you
and Rosie Colvin.
Usually you have to ask a guy three times what he prefers before he says, you know, look, I like to play corner, but, you know, anywhere they put me, I don't care.
I was just going to say something that I can't say, even though normally I could say it.
You're going to say it anyway.
I was going to say, I'll bet anything.
The Q-U-E-E word.
Mike,
because normally that fits. He acts
plane.
Differently than everyone else. Go, he's a little queer, but he's
Mike
queer.
Is writing in about the plane. I don't know if this is a news story.
Just so you know,
something.
I lost. I lost because it didn't even
it
go
didn't
a minute.
Go that minute. No.
He says there was no plot. It crashed outside of a small island due to a fire caused by a burning tire. I don't know where he's getting that from.
See, not a good story. Even though it seems like it's
if,
fiction.
If it's I don't
true.
Know. That's I would not. Imagine everybody would be emailing us breaking
yeah.
news. And there would be something on TV.
Yeah,
so.
Not like a, oh, yeah, everybody knows yeah, that.
Especially right. this episode of Days of Our Lives has not had my girl in it once. And we're 5 minutes 5 minutes left. So.
It's not going to happen today, Paul.
Yeah, she's obviously not. She's not in this obviously not in this episode.
George writes in, hi, boys. Yes, I'm older than all of you. The
even
idea
Fred?
Is to have a four-man rush. All D linemen need to be able to get to the quarterback. Even Revis can't cover for 5 seconds. Chris Jones got 6 sacks from the inside. I don't know what to expect from Armstead. It only makes sense to get a first-round 3 technique. Hageman fits the bill, and it isn't just my opinion.
That's Phil
George
the bill.
And Goffstown, New Hampshire.
A lot of people think
it's
that.
Phil the bill.
Hageman.
It's
so Hageman.
Arrogant, you should know the phrases. It's Phil. Mm-hmm.
I might have read it wrong. I don't know.
No, you probably read it right.
Yeah, Nathan writes
Phil the bill.
Yes.
Although I love Vince, the truth is his play was trailing off before the injury.
Paul?
To keep him around when he is disgruntled and on the decline is not the Patriot way. We need a big body that can fill the gap, a vocal leader, and a player that makes our defense downright ugly and intimidating. Having said that, we should pick up Bianca. Oh, see, now I'm not going to.
Fred.
That's terrible. I'm not going to.
I had
You
not,
just did.
No, but I thought it was a guy's last name, and then I realized it was her. So I stopped.
How many last names
That's
do you know?
That's terrible.
Bianca. I had not remembered
Italian
that,
names.
But I asked the boys, Freddie,
Bianca.
About Will Fuller.
A very common name.
Piancetta.
What? Right?
I asked the boys about that with Will Fork, and I had not really remembered much talk about that, but both Eric and Andy seemed to remember there was some talk before he got hurt that there was some slippage there in Vince's play. So that emailer's opinion's not all that different from a lot of other people. I don't recall people talking about it at the time.
I don't either. And the game that he went out wasn't the game that he was originally hurt. He was hurt before that. He went out in the Panthers game, and that was his last play of the year. But he got hurt the week before.
No, he got hurt in Atlanta.
He got hurt in the Falcons game.
Yeah, the Atlanta game. Right.
That's when he got
the
injury.
But he was actually hurt the game before that. And then... You know, he definitely couldn't play anymore.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard that
absolutely.
Either.
He hurt his Achilles. Wait a minute. He played the Atlanta game on
and
a bad Achilles.
And Achilles is an acute injury.
Yeah, but it was an ankle. It was described as an ankle.
Well, that's
before.
Not what well,
that's
happened.
Not
he
what
didn't
happened.
Get an
he
ankle
blew out
injury.
His Achilles.
He ruptured his Achilles.
I know, but the game before, he had a bad ankle.
The same
okay,
foot?
That might be true.
But that would contribute to him not
well,
playing well, is my point.
Was it the same foot?
We weren't arguing that.
I don't know.
Fred's been arguing everything today.
Because I wonder if that had anything to do with the Achilles.
You're making it sound like he aggravated an existing injury.
No, but I'm saying that if you're looking at all the games before the Atlanta game, he didn't play well. Well, there was maybe a reason why he didn't play well in other games.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why people that are writing about it as fact now didn't write about it then.
True.
That's all.
Well, that's often the case here.
Who?
Ben Volen, for one.
Up! Check!
In the middle of his Sunday notes, had a big thing about how he hadn't played well before the injury. You might be right. That's why I asked you guys, because I didn't remember it. But I don't remember people writing about it at the time.
No.
But you know,
I thought we were all enthralled with the defense.
Now you
got to
carry the – well, you
were. Saying how all they were playing so well, right? I don't remember people
against backups and ne'er-do-wells.
I don't remember people picking out players and saying, they're not playing well, because the defense had been playing well.
Right, Fred. I'm with you.
So.
Right, Fred. I'm with you, too. Not so much.
And I don't see anything on Twitter about the Malaysian airliner mystery being solved.
Okay.
You can find pretty much anything on Twitter if you look.
Mike writes back. He says it's just a theory written by an experienced pilot. Sorry, meant that FYI, not for the air. Okay, well.
Everybody knows, if you send Fred an email during noon and 2, there's a good chance he's going to read it on the air.
Well, I assume that if you send it between noon and 2, you want me to.
Correct me. I'm a little confused. He sent an email saying that it went off the runway.
It crashed near a
and
small island
near
due
a
to
small,
a fire
caused by
a burning
tire.
That doesn't seem like
that's not just a theory.
Right.
That's not like a conspiracy theory.
Sounds like somebody who set a fire on a tire.
That's a very specific way that the plane was lost.
Like, even if it had a fire on a tire, why does it have to crash off a small island?
Right. That's not
for this theory. Like, where does that come in? They tried to hit the small island.
Maybe they tried to land there and they couldn't.
This theory sounds a little too specific.
Yeah.
That's my point.
And plus, if it happened, Tom Hanks would have let us know, right? Chris writes in from Auburn, California. Do you guys think that we keep Boyce simply because he can help in the return game? We have lacked that for a long time. I also think he can help us occasionally as a receiver.
I think we keep him because he's unique. I think he's different from the other guys. I think you can lump up Amendola. Well, first of all, Amendola and Edelman you can kind of lump together. But even LaFell is a little bigger, but he's still sort of a... He has the speed. No one else has the deep speed.
What did LaFell get for guaranteed money?
I don't know.
I think it was...
it was 3 years, $9 million, right?
Yes.
Did he get a bonus?
$3 million, I think.
He got a $3 million bonus?
Yeah.
Okay. He ain't going anywhere then.
All right.
That's what Matt Chatham said.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be back on Thursday, and I'm sure the Patriots aren't completely done with free agency, especially at this early stage.
Allen.
Yeah.
Allen.
We'll see what happens. The Vince Wilfork situation is still out there, so plenty to talk about Thursday. Keep in touch with Patriots.com. Anything going on Patriots.com we should know about?
SPFW is up today.
SPFW has been posted.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you for making last week one of our busiest weeks.
Yes.
A lot of hits. A
lot of hits. I'm taking credit for that.
Thank Darrell Revis for that.
I'm taking credit for that.
All right. We'll see you Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.